They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and you can watch The Alex Jones Show live on these platforms. On X at Real Alex Jones, and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live, or go to the website AlexJonesLive.com. And don't forget to download the number one news app in the world on Apple and Android, Alex Jones App. Share the links now and tell everyone Alex Jones is back and he's not f***ing leaving.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
I want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax. Not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it, and get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
Some good news for you today instead of some bad. And I hate to be doom and gloom. I hate to be a black pillar, too negative, negative Nelly, whatever they want to say. But sometimes we have to be. Sometimes we have to be realistic. Today is a day I'm willing to be a little bit unrealistic because of what we are getting out of the G7 conference with Trump. He's up there with Rubio and Lutnick, and he's saying a lot of things we've never heard him say before. He's calling out Israel for the war crimes. He's saying they can have nuclear, meaning civilian enrichment for Iran. He's saying he won't touch their ballistic missile program as long as other nations are still allowed to have them. Groundbreaking things that we've heard the neocon Zionist Israelis say are absolutely untenable. Well, I'm here to introduce it to you today as something that might brighten your day, and I want to get into these clips right now. I want to thank everyone for being here, and I want to remind you, please repost the stream, please share it, share the live link, share the video, share the feed. That's what really helps us win the info war, even more than buying the amazing products at thealexjonesstore.com. So without further ado, as they say in France, let's get into this. The final MOU to be signed. It looks like we have it. Looks like we have the terms that may prospectively be agreed to on Friday. Let's go ahead and get that Mario Newfall tweet up from the first thing, and I can go ahead and get into it now. So the idea with the MOU, the idea with getting all of these things signed, with getting it done, is that America is finally going to be able to extricate itself from the conflict. We're finally going to be able to leave. And you know, people like me, people like Joe Ken have been saying, you know, we didn't really need an MOU. We didn't really need this agreement. We could have just taken our ball and gone home. This still shows that Trump has not let go of the neocon desire to control the Middle East and, in fact, is making another compromise. We'll see how that plays out. Let's go ahead and get into what Trump said about Lebanon in the clip one, please.
Happy to Israel, by the way. They've been a good partner. Again, I think they could do better with respect to Hezbollah. I'm not saying they shouldn't protect themselves. I'm saying when two drones are shot into the desert and drop harmlessly, you don't have to knock down buildings in Beirut. They could behave better. And frankly, they could do a better job. I love them as a partner. They were terrific. But they could do a much better job with Hezbollah. On that, I don't think they're doing well. And I feel very bad for Lebanon. Lebanon's been, you know, it was a great culture. It was a great, they had the professors, the doctors.
Pretty incredible that for him to say was, were there in the past tense referring to Lebanon. Of course, it's been largely destroyed due to conflicts started by the Israelis. And it's another pretty shocking admission that, yes, they do just blow up entire city blocks and apartment buildings to get one guy. And they do a horrible job of doing it, too. So why do we let them do it, and why do we fund it? All right, I'm going to read the MOU to you guys. Breaking. White House releases memorandum of understanding it reached with Iran. One, the U.S. And the Islamic Republic of Iran and their allies in the current war, by signing this MOU, declare the immediate and permanent termination of all military operations on all fronts, including in Lebanon. I'm going to show you clips later today where both Smotrich, Bezalel Smotrich, and Ben-Gvir, however you say his first name, Desert Speak Ben-Gvir, they're all saying absolutely not. Come Friday and past Friday, they will continue operations in Lebanon. The main clarification that we want from this document, the thing that we want made clear and explained to us, the American people, and just people of the world in general, because everyone wants this to be over, the thing we need explained is, does this include Israel? And if Israel attacks Iran, is America going to defend Israel? You know, like the little brother getting in the fight. Sure, the big brother might not fight the guy already, but is the big brother still going to have to take the punches for the little brother? That is super, super important. Look at point number two. The United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran undertake to respect each other's sovereignty and territorial integrity and to refrain from interfering in each other's international or internal affairs. Excuse me. Just internal affairs, not international. So what does that mean? No blockade, no spying, no more bombing, no more death, no more assassination, no more regime change. Get that back up there for a second. Point number three, the United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran commit to negotiating and achieving the full or final deal in the maximum of 60 days, extendable with mutual consent. Now, that's the line that really scares me a lot, because that makes you think of like Vietnam or Korea. You know, or mainly Korea, where there's an armistice and then it never truly ends. The conflict's never truly over. Point number four, immediately upon signing of the MOU, the U.S. will begin the removal of its naval blockade, bye-bye, and any disturbances or impediments against the Islamic Republic of Iran. Will end the blockade within a 30-day period, blah, blah, blah. Removes its forces from the proximity of Iran as well within 30 days, not just the blockade. Point number five, Islamic Republic of Iran will make arrangements using its best efforts for the safe passage of commercial vessels with no charge for 60 days only from the Persian Gulf to the Sea of Oman and vice versa. So it's going to be a temporary lack of a toll, because we know for a fact that they are going to charge an environmental fee, a management fee, whatever it's going to be whatever the final form of it is going to be. They're going to have some legalese for it. They are going to end up charging a toll. The Republic of Iran will conduct a dialogue with Oman to define the future administration and maritime services, blah, 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 and the Strait of Hormuz. Point number six, the U.S. of A, United States of America, undertakes with its regional partners to develop a definitive, mutually agreed plan with at least $300 billion for the reconstruction and economic development of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Mechanism for the implementation of this plan will be finalized as part of a final deal within 60 days. Okay, that's a lot of jargon right there. Basically, they gonna get all the money, and we gonna have to pay, or somebody else gonna have to pay. Now, maybe it can be structured kind of like the deals that the Saudis or the UAE gave us, where, oh, we'll give you the $10 trillion over the decade or whatever it is. I don't think the Iranians are going to accept that. Where do you get $300 billion from? Well, Trump talks about it. I'll get into it in the clips here. Unfreezing their assets, right? Because we owe them technically a bunch of money. The Shah of Iran ordered military equipment and we never gave it to them because of what happened. So we do actually have some money on the books that was supposed to be promised to them. And that's kind of what Trump hints at. Now, you could say that's crazy. He obsesses about Obama and what Obama did all the time, and he needs to pay them less money than Obama. I'm here to tell you this is how vapid and materialistic Donald Trump is. As long as it's literally not like pallets of cash, as long as they're not going on a plane, it's green dollar bills, as long as it's technically, you know, a wire transfer, a bank, crypto, whatever, he doesn't care. As long as they can't put a photo of Obama and a photo up of him and then he's worse than Obama, that's literally all he cares about, and that's not who our president should be or what he should act like. It's very childish behavior. Go ahead and go to clip number two, Trump on Israel, the most important thing you asked for.
Every country, I think Israel too. Look, think of what Israel's getting. They're not going to be nuked. It's very simple. I told Bibi, your biggest risk was that they drop a nuclear weapon into the middle of Israel. They'd only need one, and there would be no more Israel. Think of it, Bibi. You got the best, the most important thing that you were asking for is that. So I think they're happy.
We took care of it for
some
you.
Some people
no more
are
nuclear. Can you believe it?
Going
no
to be
more
not
nuclear.
Him, but there are some people, some writers, some that I thought were friends of mine, but I don't want them as friends anymore.
Wow. So it's the jujitsu of Iran must never have a nuclear weapon going back to the 12-day war. Well, I obliterated it. So we're back to that strategy. I pray that he holds. He should have held from the beginning and said, well, there's no reason to do this regime change in the initial operation. Let me go over the history again. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, I believe it was March 1st, he came out and said, well, we had to attack because Israel was going to do the initial strike. We feared more Americans would die in the retaliation. So we had to go in. It was only supposed to be 24 to 48 hours. Okay, that's near verbatim. I'm paraphrasing. That is the quote. All right? Trump could have said, Rubio could have said, Vance could have said, oh, no, 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 there's no reason to do this. We obliterated their nuclear program a few months ago. Why do we have to go back in and deal with it? So, like, this is the same approach. It's like a diet version of it. It's not as good as what we want, and I'm very angry that it's not. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not a supporter, by the way, of any of this. But at the same time, when we look at the situation, we look at the scenario with Trump, if he backs out right now in tacos, I'm all for it. This is what we need. And it's not even backing out because it's the truth. It's our own version of the truth. Now, they weren't going to develop a nuclear weapon to begin with. We killed the guy that banned the nuclear weapon. This is an example of how bad the reverse psychology is. Okay, like we want them to develop one so we have an excuse, right? And they've wisely decided not to develop one or to slow it down or to not do whatever because they know the second they do that, and that's the real reason for the fought one, why it still remained in power, the second they do that, they're going to get nuked by us and or Israel or both, right? So why would they do it? And it's perfect for Trump to come out and say, hey, it's a moot point. I dealt with the biggest, most dangerous thing that never existed in the first place, but I say that it's real, so that's okay. Not too bad. Let's go ahead and go to clip three, Trump on the Iranian victory question. Did they win?
A wise man once said in January of 2020, Iran never won a war, but never lost a negotiation. That wise man.
Who said that?
Donald Trump.
Oh, that's what I thought you were going
to
say.
So how do you go back to the United States and convince a skeptical American public that this deal
well,
is a
look,
win?
Here they lost militarily, okay? It's very tough because I know that no matter what, if I would go, by the way, if I'd go another 3 or 4 weeks, those same people that are critical would say, he went too long, he should have done, you know, no matter what. If they raised the white flag of surrender, and if they said, praise be to Allah, Donald Trump is the greatest president ever. We totally concede. We totally give up. This war is over. We have failed. The New York Times and CNN yeah. and a couple of others are not all that dishonest. They say Iran had a great victory. Okay. And they practically do that. You know, it's amazing. When we knocked out their last ship, they had 159 ships. When we knocked out the last ship, the Times refused to do a story on it. They said, why would
okay,
you, they
enough.
Don't have a name?
So notice how he focuses on they don't have a Navy, they don't have an Air Force, all these things that don't matter for them. They have what's called an asymmetrical defense. They're doing asymmetrical warfare. All they have to do is stay in the fight and keep the strait closed. We're the ones that have to come in from thousands of miles away with all this heavy military equipment that costs billions of dollars a day to keep in the field. These aircraft carriers, these radar systems, these bases, and then we've got all this strategic liability in the region that we can't do anything about. We need it to project power, and they're just laughing, throwing lawnmowers at us that cost $5 to $10,000. So it's an unwinnable war. We lost the war by starting it. I say it all the time. It's a strange game, a crazy game. The only way to win is not to play, right? And that sounds simple enough. You'd think people would get that. And they're just like, no, we gotta go win and we gotta drop more bombs and we gotta put the troops on the Karg Island and the Keshem Island and we gotta go in through Kuwait and all this insane stuff. And you just look at them, you go, brother, you're crazy. You're a real mega. And this is not acceptable behavior in modern society. People see you doing this. People see you acting like a real mega, trying to send their children and sons and daughters off to war to die, trying to take all their money to spend on these worthless wars. And they say, mega, you crazy as hell. So we've had enough of that, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go ahead and go to clip four with Trump.
But it's been an amazing partnership. But he will say, we're the big partner, and he's the very small partner, and that's true. So
I am the big partner, and Netanyahu is the little partner. He is like a Russian nesting doll, let me tell you. You take one out, and there's another one inside. It's crazy. It's true. I mean, it's just, how much convincing do you have to do for yourself, Unc? And, like, I think a part of this is Trump's, you know, grandiose narcissism coming out and saying, you know what, I'm tired of being the most hated person on the planet. That should be Netanyahu. I hate him, too. Like, I don't think Trump likes the guy who's controlling him, blackmailing him, whatever. He may do what he says. He may have Stockholm syndrome about it. But at a base level, he's got to be like, I'm the president of the United States of America. I have all the nuclear weapons and infinite credit card. F you. And you know what? I hate that. I wish I didn't vote for the guy that believed in that. I thought he was an actual good person who had morals and values and hated death. Sad to say that. That's not true. But from the personal profit, personal motivation section of his soul, you know, I don't really have a problem with this. Just leave, Trump. If you had never done this, if you had told Netanyahu no, or if you had stopped in the first day or the first week, they would build golden statues of you. They would, and I would disagree with it, and I would hate on it, but it's true. People are dying to give Trump credit. People are dying to still have, you know, it's like a house party and it's 11 a.m. and the parents are home and they're making the kids clean up trash. And some of the kids are still jumping around and be like, hey, man, it's still a party. Like, people have tried so hard to connect with you, Donald. I've tried so hard to connect with you. I've tried so hard to support you over the years. I'm disgusted by you now, but I'm happy at this turn of events. I am the big partner, and Netanyahu is the little partner, let me tell you.
Okay, I want to go ahead and get back into the MOU, and I want to read you a couple more points on it. Point number 8 is super important, talking about the nuclear enrichment. And really quick, before we go back into that, just cut back to Straight Shot for a little while. I watched the Alex Jones Show today, phenomenal information from Harrison Smith, but at the same time, we're doing war coverage, war roundup on the war room covering the memorandum of understanding. Trump says it's to be signed. Trump says they're getting civilian enrichment. Trump says they're getting no war in Lebanon. We're going to see if that's true, but you need to be briefed on all the current information. Everything happening right now, I have studied and reviewed in depth. Let me read to you point number 8 and point number 9 of the prospective agreement. Point number 8. The Islamic Republic of Iran reaffirms that it shall not procure or develop nuclear weapons. Okay, they literally have a fatwa banning them already. This would be like America with the Second Amendment passing another law to make guns legal. All right, it's redundant. They already banned it. All right, so we're getting their existing position. I want to make this very clear to you because it's going to be given to you like a win, and it is from this perspective of like, sure, kid, you did a good job. Pat him on the back so he doesn't cry for losing the big race or whatever. Right? But it's not real. It's a fugazi. All right, I'm going back to it. The U.S. and the Republic of Iran have agreed to resolve the disposition of stockpile enriched materials, the enriched uranium, the nuclear dust, pursuant to a mechanism that will be mutually agreed upon in accordance with the schedule mentioned in paragraph 7, with the minimum methodology to be downblending on-site after the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Association, or the IAEA for short. That's what that stands for. Point number 9, big deal. Pending the final deal, the U.S. and Iran agreed to maintain the status quo. The Islamic Republic of Iran will maintain the current status quo of its nuclear program, that civilian nuclear enrichment. Some people are so dumb. Some people are so propagandized. They see the words nuclear program, and they start to spurge out. They start to crash out. They start to froth at the mouth. And you have to tell them, bad Zionist, bad neocon, sit down. You got to tell them to stop. All right. The U.S. will not impose any new sanctions and will not deploy additional forces in the region. Wow. Point number 10, U.S. will undertake that immediately upon the signing and until the termination of sanctions, the U.S. Department of Treasury will issue waivers for the export of Iranian crude oil. Look how desperate we are to fix the market we destroyed. Petroleum products and their derivatives and all associated services, including banking transactions, insurance, transportation, etc. Point number 11, the big kahuna, the big daddy. The big enchilada. The United States of America undertakes to make fully available for use the frozen or restricted funds and assets of the Islamic Republic of Iran upon the implementation of this memorandum of understanding. The United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran will mutually agree on the procedures related to the release of these funds during negotiations. Such funds, whether retained in the original account or transferred, shall be made fully usable for payment to any ultimate beneficiary designated by the Central Bank of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The United States undertakes to issue all necessary license and authorizations accordingly. point number 12, just more monitoring in the MOU. That's all we need to see. They're getting all the money. So if the whole point, we're going to get into some of these clips in the next segment of Trump trashing Obama and saying he's so much better than Obama and saying the Iranian negotiators, they trashed Obama too. They didn't like him. And it's like, it's the dude at the mall or the lady at the mall with the perfume swatch shoving it in your face going, my friend, I give you the best price, my friend. Trump, they're going to say whatever. Trump, they glaze your balls, whatever you want, as long as you agree to their terms and give them the $300 billion. And of course, like Joe Cannon said, this is my position as well. We don't have to do any of this. We can just leave and leave everything behind and care about our hemisphere and our own republic instead of this fake empire we've made. Right? But we're doing this. We're going down this path. I guess that's okay. We got time for one more. Let's go ahead and go to clip 5 on Trump killing the Iranians during negotiations.
I didn't do this for regime change, but I think this group is regime change.
All right, pause it. All right, so that's just a straight up lie. Like, we heard them multiple times. Like, that's why you kill the leadership. That's why you kill the supreme leader. That's why you try to have the color revolution in the country. That's why you fund the radicals. That's why you do all of this, right? He's just lying. He's just lying to you, and you know it. Okay, because I know if you're watching this broadcast, or maybe not, whatever, I know that you pay attention to these things and you remember the 24 to 48 hour regime change timeline that we were all given. Okay, it's all fake. Go back to it.
I didn't do this for regime change, but I think this group is regime change. I mean, hey, the first group is dead. One little morning, having breakfast, the whole group, they thought they'd never be caught. Because we never bombed during breakfast, but we bombed.
Pause it.
And
we never bombed during breakfast, so they thought they wouldn't get bombed.
Yeah, they're at their houses. You know, like, he killed the Ayatollah. He killed his granddaughter. He killed the current Ayatollah's wife and, like, more of his family, more children. Yeah, it's very sneaky and cool that Petey Hegseth is able to slam an entire bottle of Jaeger and then drop a bomb on somebody's house. It's very cool and based and a liberal as well. Liberal. That's what it is. And it's just the idea that we can have this wanton death, this wanton chaos without any sort of payback. That, yeah, you can just kill the Pope to like 200 million Muslims. It's what he is. Shia is like a 20% of the Muslim population. But that's still like 200 million people. Yeah, you can just kill their Pope with no consequence. Yeah, you can just go ahead. Eh, whatever. It doesn't matter. And it's just, it's the general attitude of actions don't have consequences that has gotten America to the point of where we're now about to give these people $300 billion. And keep in mind, both in the 12-day war and both in this war, we attacked, Israel attacked during the negotiations. That's another factor to all of this. That's why they were able to kill all the people, right? Is because they're thinking they got their guard down. They're stupid. They're not thinking the U.S. of A is going to come get their butt, but they are. And that's what we did, and that's what we always do. Do we have time? All right, I got a minute left. I want to tell you guys in that minute to go to thealexjonesstore.com. It is the place to get methylene blue capsule, methylene red, power plant, methyl drive, ultimate life force, all of these products, and much more, including apparel, t-shirts, badass belts, badass hats, badass knives, everything and more available at thealexjonesstore.com. Highly recommend y'all check out the Power Drive bundle on there. That's a power plant and methyl drive, two products that I created myself 100% to add in addition to the effects of methylene blue to supercharge it, make it even more powerful to boost testosterone, free testosterone, enzymatic processes throughout the body, mitochondrial efficiency, and so much more. That's what basically all of our products do as well. Ultimate Vitality Blends, Zeolite, so much more available at thealexjonesstore.com. I'll see you in a moment when we come back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are listener and viewer supported. It's very simple. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You back us. You fund us. You are everything. And we bring you the very best products, the very best supplements, the very best water filtration systems, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the very best knives, silver coins, you name it, so that you get a great product and empower yourself while at the same time empowering yourself and free humanity against the globalists. So, a lot of new things at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at these belts. They are super comfortable. They are incredible high quality. They are so durable. They'll last a lifetime. And the way they're designed is something special. So I paid like $75 a year or so ago for a similar belt. And I told Bigley, I like this type of belt. Why don't you get these? They got belts even better than the one I bought about a year ago that I love. And they're selling them for $39 right now. That is a big discount out of the gates at thealexjonesstore.com. Premium nylon tactical belt. This is the premium nylon tactical belt available now at thealexjonesstore.com for only $39.99. It's built from heavy-duty nylon webbing with a smooth automatic ratchet buckle. No holes, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit whether you're working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, are on the move. And we've got them in three editions. On the buckle is a little cross, a 1776 edition, and Alex Jones signature edition, making it original and special. It's all black, tactical, clean, durable, and built for everyday use. It's murdered out. It's off black. And right now it's only $39 at thealexjonesstore.com. They are premium. They look great. They have knocked it out of the park with this product. Get yours today, and also buy gifts for friends and family, and know you're fighting the tip of the spear in the fight against tyranny. Also, Bigley knocked it out. Highest rating, level with the carbon filters, beautiful, highest grade stainless steel for lower price than other systems that aren't even as good. We're so proud of this. The first group sold out. More coming in about a week and a half. So get your order in now to make sure it's the head of the line. Those are now available. This is platinum level, gravity-fed water filtration, and it makes this operation possible, multi-tested by top companies to take out hundreds and hundreds of bad chemicals at non-detectable levels, the atrazine, the glyphosate, all of it. You should do this for your family. Do this for yourself. It's a big 3-gallon system. It's amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And then we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Some of the designs are the best. Some of them are okay. I'll just be honest. Some of the designs I come up with are okay. But I came up with the concepts of these new shirts. Limited edition, 250th anniversary of America, July 4th, special edition. So it's sold through the middle of June, through July, and then we're not going to sell these T-shirts anymore. They look so good, they'll probably come up with another variant or something. But these are limited edition, Liberty or Death, 1776, 2026. They came up with that. I love it. The simple one I came up with, America, 250 years strong, nice, simple, clean, kind of got like a polo look to it. Look at that one. Destroying Tyranny since 1776, Gadsden flag on the Betsy Ross flag. I came up with that design. I'm really proud of these. They're very clean. You'll meet a lot of like-minded people wearing these. Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. I designed that bad boy. They designed the 1776, 250 years of freedom. Oh, I love the one they designed with the brass knuckles, 1776 free. Defund the deep state. That's all their designs. America, ride fast, live free. They designed that. Ball caps as well. All limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And to keep us on the air, take action now. Big Brother hates it when you fund the tip of the spear. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Even more breaking news, and I was watching Harrison's phenomenal breakdown on what's been going on in the UK and the rape inquiry or inquiry document. But this Iran news is just as serious, perhaps even more serious with the global ramifications. Let's go ahead and go to Trump admitting the truth. It's that Mario Newfall thing you'll have up on my side TV. Trump admits why he had no choice but to end the war. We would have run out of oil in 4 weeks. Let's go ahead and play that when we have the ability to.
I'm going to get bad press. I know that. Now, if I did the opposite, if I went out and continued to bomb them for another 4 hours, just bomb the hell out of them, I'd get bad press on that. No, there's nothing I can do. But what this does is it allows the ships to go.
Pause it.
If we.
All right. So he admits there's nothing he could do. There's nothing he could ever do, because if that's true now, it was true at the start of the war, right? Even more so at the start of the war. Even now, we still can't do it, no matter how many of them we've killed or how many military targets we've destroyed, which definitely weren't empty sheds or decoys or places they want us to hit. Spoiler alert, that was a lot of it, okay? When you have people running this campaign that are Air Force generals that measure victory from bombs dropped and targets hit via the air, you cannot point to a single modern war where that has worked. Didn't work in World War II. It didn't work in Vietnam. It hasn't worked in any of these Middle Eastern conflicts, no matter how much you bomb the people, because the people hate you and know that you want to kill their family and destroy their way of life. Even if we think their way of life is wrong, they're going to fight to the death and fight on death to keep it. So Trump just admits the truth there. There's nothing he could do. I need that as a soundbite on my new soundboard. Go ahead and play the rest of it.
And you're talking about $500, $600, $700 million a day. It's a lot of money. A lot of money. That's why the world is okay. It's liquid. It's fine. Also, we run out of reserves in about 4 weeks. You know, there are reserves all over the world, and we would really run out. And there'll be a time when you wouldn't be able to get it. And you want to see bedlam? So for all those so-called geniuses that want to show me how smart they are, ask them why didn't they blow up General Soleimani. Ask that of the general and a couple of other people that I like very much, but boy, are they wrong. Go ahead. How about you?
Okay, so I guess he's saying that about Israel. That's so weird. Of course, Soleimani is the guy that we label responsible. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, for making a lot of the IEDs. I think Trump killed him in his, like, first term or whatever. Maybe look that up and fact-check me, because I want to do good journalism. I don't want to just be a bad little pundit on here. But Trump's bringing that up as to say, like, Israel didn't do what I did, and I made the world safer by killing that guy. That guy was immensely popular, and we galvanized heavy support for the regime by killing him, by the way. Just another interesting factor. It's kind of like the lead up to the Ayatollah as well, because killing the Muslim Pope is a really, really bad idea, right? But we did that, just like killing Soleimani. And I guess that's a callback. That's a win. That's a victory. And I guess he's really talking to people that want him to continue the war and not us, the people that want him to end it. He's saying, look, I did things that y'all weren't able to do because I had the power to do them. The entire world is going to go bankrupt, go broke. I have to nope out. And I agree with that, right? We shouldn't have ever gotten here in the first place. Like, read this crap. Sorry, try not to curse because we're on TV and radio. We never bombed during breakfast, but we bombed. I mean, it's just a level of sickness and a level of detachment and a level of not even understanding things on like a video game level of military. It really is quite stunning. Let's go ahead and start doing the rapid fire short clip so people can get more context for this G7 summit where Trump broke out the truth.
People want me to bomb the bridges. Why don't I bomb? I already did, because, you know, they went back on one of their promises and I bombed their biggest bridge, the equivalent of the George Washington Bridge of Iran. But we bombed that bridge. You saw that.
Well, that's pretty chill. You know, he blew up the George Washington Bridge of Iran, as he puts it. Keep in mind that targeting a bridge like that is only acceptable in warfare if they're using it for military purposes. People were having picnics around it when he blew it up. And go, oh, that's Hamas and Hezbollah propaganda. They were marching tanks down there to go kill American soldiers. That's probably what Mark Levin would tell you if he was here. And of course, we tell Mark Levin, bad neocon, sit, stay, place. That's what we tell Mark Levin when he comes at us with that garbage. Ladies and gentlemen, next clip.
One more? Go ahead, Peter. Let me finish with Peter, because he's been better to me than he's been to Biden.
Thank you, President Trump. I have a question about this weekend. Why not stick around for the signing ceremony with this Iran peace deal?
I might.
Why not stick
around? You might.
Yeah, I might, but I'd rather, this is a memorandum of understanding. It's very important, but it might not be the kind of a document that I should be signing in the future. But it's good.
Unk doesn't want the photos of him signing it compared to photos of Obama negotiating or signing the JCPOA. So, like, that's, and like I just told you earlier in the first segment, that's literally what it's all about. Trump will give them 100 times, 500 times more money than Obama gave them, but he'll say it's based and cool because they weren't literal pallets of cash. And that's why there's all the legalese we just went over in the MOU about licensing agreements and ways to unfreeze the assets. Basically, now, I don't know if y'all ever heard this before. I didn't know it was a military term, but it makes sense that it is. I've heard it since I was, you know, younger, watching media and stuff. Operation CYA, right? Like, that's what all this is. Cover your butt. Cover your butt, Trump. You don't want the photos, the analogies of you and Obama. Then, hey, as long as it's not literal money, then it's fine. Go to the next clip.
probably a future, but it's going to take a long time. But are you going to let the 91 million people starve to death? I mean, one of the things I was very intent on, they have water desalinization plants, very good ones. I could have knocked them out in 5 minutes.
Pause it.
Just like I
could have knocked them out, whatever. They get 3% of their water from desalinization. Most of the Gulf countries get over 25 to 40%. Israel, I think, is even higher. Maybe you guys can look that up and display that figure for people. It would be insane to hit them because even though they have a drought and stuff, the drought is not a result of not having enough desalinization plants. It's the result of natural irrigation and weather patterns, weather problems that may not even be natural at all. There's been a lot of discussion about this because they had record rainfall in Iran. After the radar installations got blown up. I'm not that conspiratorial, but the idea of blowing up something that they're relying on 3% when they're immediately going to retaliate and target our allies in the region, same thing as saying like our friends that we do drugs with, our allies in the region that are always calling on us to bail them out, they're going to blow up all their water. And what happens when they don't have water in Haifa or Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or Riyadh? It's over. Go next clip.
We stopped carpet-bombing them to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Now we're
probably a future, but it's going to take a long time. But are you going to let the 91 million people starve to death? I mean, one
here,
of the things I was very intent.
We already went over it. I apologize, crew, because I'm telling you to pause, and then I told you to go to the next clip. So that's my bad. That's 100% on me. See if we can just go like 10 seconds into that clip, and we'll continue to play it. Right? And Trump makes these claims about, you know, being anti-death and not wanting people to starve. I know it's 91 million people. What about the 7 or 9 or whatever billion people there are on the planet? What about the global ramifications for starting a war that he admits that we could do nothing about, that we were always doomed to fail, doomed to lose, as I showed you in the past two clips? He knows it. He knows we can't do anything. That's what he said, an equivalent of that. I'm paraphrasing, but I can't do anything. I can't do anything about it. So why do we do it in general? If it's bad to make the 91 million people suffer a lot, isn't it bad to make the entire world suffer a lot as well? These are very basic concepts, and I thought at least at some level he was a basically intelligent person and he would get this. He clearly was talked into it and thought it would be much easier than it actually was. Now, you can say whatever about his morals or his system of judgment or whatever, that is objectively the truth. He doesn't understand, you know, his right from his left when it comes to real matters of conflict. And it's truly embarrassing because with like a year or two of YouTube education and just hearing about a lot of this stuff throughout my life and reading some books, I would be a better president than Donald Trump because I would immediately say, well, that didn't work out. Like if you swap me in this moment with Trump and Trump's in the studio, like, I'm a news broadcaster now. I'm 23 years old. Can you believe it? And I'm bald and I'm doing the news at a very high level, let me tell you. And then I get body swapped into Trump and I become Trump. I am immediately declaring victory and going home. It's a free option that he always had, and it would make him better than Obama. It's literally the only thing he could do to surpass Obama or beat Obama's legacy or do whatever is to truly get us out of the Middle East. It doesn't matter how many people you get kvetching about it. Doesn't matter how many boomer neocons are going to cry in the street about our greatest ally, 3,000 years, the Bible says, all of that. Whatever. The earlier Gen X, the millennials, especially the Gen Z, all of us, we would love that. We would love that. And it would be a complete and total reversal. It would be like unlike anything we'd ever seen before. And isn't that what we thought we were getting with the Trump administration? Unlike anything we'd seen before? Yes, I guess that did end up being true, just not in the way that we thought it would. Let's go to the next clip. I played all of the Trump clips. Okay, I appreciate it. Okay. Go to the hypocrisy of Ben Shapiro, and then once we reference the hypocrisy of Ben Shapiro, we're going to play clip zero, which is Syrian President al-Julani, that's the terrorist head chopper I talked about yesterday. He shut down Trump saying he could take over handling Hezbollah. So go ahead and play Ben Shapiro clip number. I guess it's not numbered then, so y'all probably won't have it, so that's okay. Basically, Ben Shapiro has got his panties in a twist. He's losing his mind because Trump is going to, or J.D. Vance is going to meet with some guy he accuses of terrorism or killing people or killing Americans or killing Israelis in Lebanon. To that outrage about J.D. Vance meeting that guy, have you not seen Benny Boy, Benjamin Shapiro? Have you not seen Trump shake al-Julani's hand and then spray him, not even kidding, with his own Trump brand cologne so that he can cover up the stench of the blood and the manure from all the people that he's murdered? Unbelievable. Play the clip.
I'm noticing that Mohammed Khalibaf, who will apparently on Friday be literally in a photo op with the Vice President of the United States. I cannot express to you how stomach turning that is. I don't care who the Vice President is. I don't care who the President is. Leaders of the United States of America in a photo op with a mass murdering terrorist supporter like Mohammed Khalibaf shaking hands 6 months after he blew away 42,000 innocent people in the streets and weeks after he was his administration was firing missiles at literally all of our allies in the region and continues to support every terrorist group in the region and is currently continuing to control the strait. Like right now, it is not fully open for business unless the Iranians have, quote unquote, decided it is. The idea here.
All right. We've suffered enough. Ben, we've suffered enough. We get your point. We take it and we spit it out because we know that it's false. All this fake outrage about what was the exact terminology he used? It makes him sick to his stomach or odd, offends his sensibilities. It gives him the willies. Where were all these people a year ago when we had the insurgency takeover of Syria and we empowered al-Julani and put him in power and everyone said it was fine, it was great. He went to the White House, Trump sprays him with his cologne like I just said. Where was all the same outrage? Crew, can we just look up al-Julani and Trump? It'll be the first thing that pops up. It's super easy. Al-Julani and Trump at the White House, right? Because Ben's all mad. Ben Shapiro's so mad. Ben Shapiro's quaking in his boots. He can't sleep. Sleepless nights. Oh, no. J.D. Vance is meeting with a terrorist in Lebanon. Well, did Ben Shapiro have like a stroke or a brain aneurysm and die and come back to life the day that al-Julani visited the White House? Al-Julani, notorious murderer, terrorist, head chopper, like I've said many, many times before? No. He didn't care at all. Because guess what? It furthers his interests. It furthers his goals. It's good foreign policy for Israel if they have Assad out of there and they replace him with al-Julani, because that means that Israel gets to take the Golan Heights. So that's what he really cares about. So whenever you see these people morally grandstand, whenever you see them, you know, B-word and moan about all this stuff, just know they're lying to you. Now let's go to somebody who's basically never wrong, leading geopolitical analyst and former CIA analyst on Suleiman, Larry Johnson. Go to the clip.
No, we ain't doing that. We're not playing. Homie don't play that. No. He put the kibosh on that. So, you know, it is sort of, here is Donald Trump talking about having one certified terrorist go carry out terrorist attacks against Hezbollah. You know, Jelani's smart enough to know, whatever Syrian force he sent there would be severely damaged.
Yep.
Hezbollah is a formidable force, as Israel is finding out.
Yeah, Israel. Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that. Look how happy Trump is to shake his hand. It's like he's a long-lost son or something, and he's like, oh, you're so good-looking, blah, 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 whatever. This is what we're dealing with, guys. Like Larry just said, they're bringing in another radical terrorist, literally bringing in Al-Qaeda and ISIS. How do you think the Lebanese people are going to feel about that? Don't you think that's going to galvanize support for Hezbollah? Or as Mark Levin would say, Hezbollah? Look at this. Trump's Iran nuclear program. Go ahead and get that up. Iran nuclear deal risks falling short of Obama version. They're already starting to say it. They're already starting to say it. I saw you guys run a clip. That was a little bit early. Let's go ahead and play clip number 9, the crazy neocon Zionist crash out over all of this.
We stopped carpet bombing them to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Now we're removing, the blockade to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Next time we'll be giving up something else to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. This is the way negotiations with the Iranians work.
The way negotiations with us work.
Yeah.
It's about us. It's not about them.
Who is us? Who is we? Who is they? When we ask that question, we get called racist and or anti-Semitic and oh no, it's a blood libel. But when they say we, us, they, whatever, when they refer to the U.S. Israeli Empire and to world Jewry and all these power systems and power grids that we know exist, it's totally fine. You can go watch a panel of folks with interesting last names tell you the truth about all this. Keep playing it.
And
no, they've already succeeded. I don't know what they need to keep going for. They negotiate, not negotiate. Nobody on the planet Earth is going to see this unless you are literally a paid agent of MAGA related to Donald Trump or some lunatic who is really excited by the possibility of Trump turning on Israel.
Pause
there
it.
Is no person.
Notice the characterization is not some lunatic that believes in peace and is anti-war. A lunatic that is anti-Israel. A lunatic, a crazy person that wants the Strait of Hormuz to be open and everyone not to starve. Isn't that wild? And it's just like, this is so unrepresentative of the vast majority of the population, yet these are the type of people that Trump has been letting brainwash him, that he's been listening to, that he's been used by since the beginning of his latest presidency. And we were the ones from the beginning, always the fans, always the cheerleaders, always the supporters saying, hey, we already love you. You don't have to prove yourself to us. All you have to do is not do these things. And he did them. And now you see, because he's pulling out, because he couldn't do it, because he never had the power to do it in the beginning, to effectuate the regime change and the missile disarmament. Because that, pull these people up real quick. That's the main goal of this panel. Okay? When they think about the war, they don't even think about it from the fake perspective of Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. They know that's not real. They've completely just thrown that out the window. This is about ballistic missile disarmament. So Israel can hit them and they can't hit Israel. Getting rid of all nuclear programs, civilian enrichment, which is their right, Iran's right to have civilian enrichment, by the way. They're signatories to the NPT, the nation that all these charming gremlins and devils are loyal to is not, by the way. Israel is not, nor do they have any nuclear inspection or any nuclear weapon inspection. Keep in mind the reason why we knew how to bomb and where to bomb Fordo, Nahatsk, and Isfahan, pardon me if I pronounce the names of those Iranian cities wrong or places wrong, is because the IAEA nuclear inspectors ratted on Iran and told us where all the stuff was. Okay? Israel will never put themselves in that position. Never, ever, ever. But whenever people are out there and they're the true dyed-in-the-wool, either Christian Zionist or Jewish Zionist or whatever you want to call them, when they're true Israel first types, like a Huckabee would be a perfect example, they know what all this is about. And finally, because Trump is going against them and Trump is signaling that, hey, we're going to pull out of this. We're going to sign that MOU I read for you in the first segment. We're going to do all these things. We're going to enable peace. We're going to leave. We're going to pay them money, whatever. They're losing their minds because they thought this would never end. They thought they were going to get their World War IV. They thought they were going to get their nuclear apocalypse. They thought that they were going to see that big glow over Iran and be able to drink blood and laugh about it. Go ahead and go to them. Continued. We should have more. All right, the clip is out. All right, thank you, crew, for letting me know. Just go ahead and show this, because this is just putting a hat on a hat, a tiny hat on a tiny hat, if you will. Go to Netanyahu with the photo of him and the head of Mossad. And this was put out today very clearly as a threat to somebody, probably Trump, probably somebody in the administration, whoever. This is not normal. This is not normal, this petty signaling, this wagging the finger in your face. And this is what we've heard from a lot of people. There's a lot of motion on this that maybe not even the executive branch, but Congress itself. You know, some things might come out pretty soon about the Epstein files. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. Look at that. He's got documents right there blurred out, signaling something possibly to come out or be released. He's meeting there with the head of Mossad. He's posting this to his social media. And of course you go, ah, well, it's Netanyahu. He meets with Mossad already, whatever it is, what it is. Yes, it's about the broadcasting of it. It's about showing you, yes, we got an information operation happening right now, right now. And no matter what, even though you don't know what it is, you know that it's happening and the threat is implicit in that. Just wanted to throw that up. And of course, great commentary from Matt Gaetz, the man who should have been our attorney general. What does he say up there? Go ahead and throw it up again. I love the crew. The crew is so good. I love the crew so much. I love the crew. Go ahead and throw it up there again. If you can, the Matt Gaetz tweet that we just had. If we don't, it's cool. I've got a lot more for you. All right. Yeah, look at this. Another false flag plan afoot. And I thought about tweeting this, but it was bad taste with the Loomer tweet where she's warning about drones and 9/11. I just want to say, like, is she planning 9/12? Like, is that what's going on here? Look at that. Another false flag plan afoot. I sadly think that that might be accurate. All right, let's go ahead and go into clip number 10. Trump says Iran will keep missiles. They'll keep the ballistic missiles. Ugh! Come on, y'all. Come on, man. You don't got to do that to me when I'm in the chair. He's pregnant with the peace deal. Go ahead and play clip number 10. Trump says Iran will keep missiles.
So we'll be working on a parallel effort with the Gulf nations to address non-nuclear issues such as the conventional ballistic missiles, which we'll be talking about, and support. I mean, they have to have some because other
Pause.
People have some.
Hey, man. Yeah. I know. I'm just talking about it. We're not going to do anything about it. So why talk? In the same way he says, I'm not going to sign the agreement or I won't be around when the agreement is signed. And it's like, oh, okay. What's the point? We know it's happening. It's just to save face. It's very Eastern, very Chinese, honestly. The concept of gaining and losing face, if y'all know about that, dates back to legalism and traditional 4,000-year-old China. So go ahead and go back to that.
You shouldn't give them one. I mean, I have guys, I like some of these guys. But I don't think they're smart. Sir, you shouldn't let them have any missile. I said, well, what am I going to do?
Pause it.
Saudi Arabia.
He tells the truth in the first line. He says, what am I going to do? Absolutely correct. He can't do anything. You're not letting them have anything. If letting them means not nuking them, then I guess, yes, you're letting them have it. And that's the thing. It's just like, it's just dealing with a little kid. It's like, yeah, you win the game, whatever. Please stop. Just please stop destroying everything. Please. Maybe even beyond like a little kid. It's like animalistic. It's really weird. It's like when a dog destroys the sofa for no reason or something. Keep playing it.
Yes, sir. It doesn't work that way, you know. It doesn't work that way. And missiles aren't the problem. Missiles are, they hurt a little location, but they don't blow up the planet.
Okay, so he's calling back to, they're not going to have a nuclear weapon. Keep in mind, they outlawed the nuclear weapon in 2004. That's never been a threat. It's been reaffirmed to not be a threat. It was so much of a non-threat that we had IAEA inspectors in their country as late as the beginning of the 12-day war. So it's just, Unk's out there capping, Unk's out there trying to sell this, and I hope he's able to sell it. I hope he gets it done. I hope we get the hell out of there and go home. Now, of course, ideal scenario, declare victory, go home, just kind of leave everything behind, leave the Middle East behind as a whole, leave our bases, leave our radar, leave all of it. We don't need it. It's not to defend us. It's all to defend Israel. And the Gulf allies who we hold hostage and make buy military equipment from us and make use the petrodollar and make oil deals with. It's all a circle jerk system that is coming apart because Iran stood up and said, hey, we don't need a nuclear weapon. We don't have to develop one. We have an economic nuke right here. It's called the Strait of Hormuz. 25% of the world's oil traffic, LNG, 40% of the world's sulfur traffic, 30% of the world's helium traffic, all these things you need for modern science, modern technology, and modern way of life. It's all gone whenever we decide this is our water, our territory, shared, of course, with Oman. That's been proven bona fide by this war. And as we just saw Trump say about three or four times, well, what are you going to do? I can't do anything about it. What do you expect? This type of language, that's the type of language we've all had since the beginning. And that's what makes you, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been anti-war from the start, just like me and just like everyone else in the audience, really, truly, you're on the right side of history on this. Don't let anybody gaslight you. This was never about nukes. This was never about Israel or their ability or whatever. It was about us staying the hell out of a region we should not have been involved in.
It took them 2 years to do it. When Bigley came on as our sponsor, now the owner of the Alex Jones Network and then the main backer, I said, I want gravity-fed filters. I sent them the test from previous sponsors, and I said, these guys fell off. Their quality wasn't as good. I got rid of them. This happens to these companies. There's only out of more than 50 gravity-fed companies, three or four that have the very best filters that cut everything out. They're stainless steel, and they start cutting the quality for whatever reason. I said, I want the highest-rated stainless steel. I want a clone of these products, but even better, and I want filters rated this high or higher. They went out, took them 2 years, they did it. This is something everybody needs, everybody wants. There's a giant market of folks that know how wonderful gravity-fed filters are and know what quality is. We have all the tests published on the site. It's the best. There are companies selling filters that the stainless steel isn't as nice, anywhere close, and the filters aren't even the highest rated. They're selling the damn things for $400. They're selling units similar to ours, aren't even as good, for $500 retail, discounting at $400. These babies are $300 and even lower for VIP members. There is very small markup. The markup is not even 100% in these, okay? And when you're VIP, it's even lower. That is the best deal. This is a home run. This is the best. This is going to help hire new crew on top of the crew, extra crew. It's going to help get new reporters and hosts and the new network getting complete with all the equipment stuff. I mean, this is a big investment here. We're rebuilding our operations. We can't do it without you. So your word of mouth for the show, AlexJonesLive.com, getting the free app, sharing that with others where they can get it, AlexJonesApp.com, following us on Exit Real Alex Jones, following us on Rumble at Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. That's all critical in telling others to do that. Your word of mouth, your prayer is king, but getting these products is also critical. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it. So we have a relationship with you.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Crashing through the lies of the New World Order. It's Rex Jones on War Room Live. Thank you all for being here with me today. I'm giving you that full MOU, Memorandum of Understanding Roundup between the U.S. and the Islamic Republic of Iran. We've covered it all. It looks like Trump is out there making a serious break against the neocons, trying to return to a peaceful state of existence for the world. Let's pray he's able to do that. Go ahead and throw that Massey tweet up there. Good. I want to show that to people. $300 billion is five times as much as Congress spends on our roads and bridges annually. I'm tired of winning. The USA undertakes with regional partners to develop a definitive mutually agreed plan with at least $300 billion for the reconstruction and economic development of Iran. Yeah, you know, Massey, I'm tired of winning too, if this is what winning looks like. And keep in mind, I'm happy the conflict may come to an end. This is a better, a much better scenario. Any better scenario or any scenario is better than the war continuing. At the same time, those of us, and I was saying this at the closed last segment, and I want to go deeper into this point with the 5 minutes that I have here, like the 3 minutes that I have here. If you are somebody that has a lot of family, that has a lot of friends, that knows a lot of people that have been brainwashed or co-opted or just ignorant enough to support this conflict and have been, you know, spoon-fed the propaganda by the TV, or by the talking head on social media, or by whoever, for the people out there that knew this was wrong from the beginning, that have been protesting it from the beginning, you have been vindicated, okay? Trump has just come out on tape and told the entire world that he couldn't do anything about the missile program, he couldn't do anything about the Strait, he couldn't do anything about their true military power, which of course is the drones and missiles that he threatened to destroy, or the regime change that he tried to implement and effect. You have been right. You have been vindicated, and tell all of those people that hold those opinions, that back Trump to the hilt, that are neocons, that you know, we know all of them. We all have people like this in our lives. Okay, we all do. And it's just in the same way that you would try to wake up somebody gently, sweetly, with kindness and compassion and love, that's a family member that's sick, that needs to get out of bed. In the same way you'd talk to like a libtard, we have to talk to these people, we have to do outreach, we have to let them know, hey, everything I told you 2 months ago, 3 months ago, speaking in the third person for you guys, everything y'all have told them, everyone, y'all, every piece of information that y'all have shared, it's all been proven to be accurate. And all the propaganda that got your family and friends to believe all this toxic garbage has been proven to be a falsehood 1,000 times over. There was never a nuclear weapons program. They banned that in 2004. Trump has come out there and confirmed there'll be no nuclear weapons. The Iranians have agreed to that. There'll be no nuclear weapons. So if that's the point, there'll be no nuclear. Okay, because people are really, really hung up on that one. He's not going to be able to limit their ballistic missile program. He's not going to be able to limit their military or do any of those things. He's going to talk about it. 13 Americans died and we spent $110 billion so we could talk about it. We shouldn't have spent any of that money in the first place. Now, let me take my argument, my position of us never should have done that as to why the $110 billion is a bad idea. And let's contrast that with the neocon Israel First position of, yeah, that's also a bad idea. He wasted it. He should have sent the Americans and thousands of them, tens of thousands of them, to die in a new Vietnam. Okay? Which position is more reasonable, more effective, guarantees safety for the world and for America? Not starting a giant war that derails the global economy where we have to spend $110 billion plus a $300 billion reconstruction reparation fee? Or option B, a giant World War III scenario that sees the war develop into a regional and global conflict where we send thousands and tens of thousands of Americans on the ground in to die. Men and women, children of yours, by the way, bleeding out in the Persian Gulf for absolutely no reason. 13 died, could have been a lot more, can be a lot more if we don't get out of this. That's preferable. That's preferable to having peace on earth and having women with the hijab on in Tehran. Please. Please, please, please. every time they had some stripper come out and do a little dance and say, this is why Iran must be liberated because you can't have an OnlyFans. They don't have a central like IMF World Bank in Iran and all this stuff. You do realize these people are fighting to defend their way of life for a reason, right? You do realize we've lost our way of life. We aren't even really living here in America. We're all kind of just like, zombie mode. But I'll be right back here with you, breaking it down and more. The War Room Live. I love you.
I want to start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay. Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
TheAlexJonesShow.com.
The Iran war must end. All nations know this. But the ones in charge with the ability to make the conflict stop have been taken over by a hostile entity. Can the world and America free herself from the demonic influence? Let's go ahead and get back into it. I'm Rex Jones, hosting The War Room for you. We're going to take your calls here in a moment. I want to go ahead and read off the number here in a second. I want to thank you guys for watching. Always remind you to go to AJN Live, share, and repost the live feed on X and on Rumble. Let's go ahead and get the phone number up there. I want to call in and hear from you guys what you guys have to say about everything I've been breaking down, Iran, the MOU, the prospective peace deal from Trump, and more. I'm going to go ahead and read out that phone number. That's 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. Go ahead and call in. We got six lines available, 512-266-0642. Thank you very much. Here's the thing, right? I follow like a Dialogue Works, Larry Johnson, a Pepe Escobar. I follow a Judge Napolitano, a Gerald Celente, a Trends Journal, a Sonar 21, you name it, right? Antiwar.com, Dave DeCamp, another great resource. All these people have been saying what I've been saying much more eloquently for years prior to this conflict. Some of them, like Larry Johnson, have even been involved in military simulations where they tried to do things like, you know, extracting uranium from Iran. And it was proven to be a failure and a potential mass casualty event. That's why I've heard him cover it, or how he's characterized it, paraphrasing, of course. None of it's ever been designed to work out or wargamed to work out or planned to work out. It was all kind of a plan to nowhere, right? It was just, okay, we're going to drop X amount of bombs on Y amount of cities, and we're going to hope for Z. And whatever Z is, whether that's regime change, color revolution, moderate rebels, a failed state, whatever. There's a whole world of options. If you look at Libya, Sudan, Afghanistan, Iraq, all these wonderful places where we spread joy and love. By the way, we spread joy and love when the American planes come over and when the soldiers' boots hit the ground and when the special forces people break the jaw of somebody, we're bringing peace and love. Universally, we bring peace and love to the region. I want people to understand that, but I'm being facetious. I want to read a little bit because I do want to get into it before we take calls, and maybe the callers want to give me their perspective on this. I'm going to read you some economic numbers here from the Sonar 21 article from Larry Johnson. Oh, really quick, the Times of Israel. Now, go ahead and keep that up. That's good. I didn't see that. Trump, MOU with Iran, not final. What? We'll go back to dropping bombs if talks fail. I mean, my mega, you cannot be serious right now. You need to take a break. You need to take some 5-hour energy and wake back up, Navy, because you're asleep. You're sleepwalking us into World War III. We're so close. We're so close, Donald Trump. Just do not do this. No mas, no bueno. Afuera! Afuera! Get out. Enough. Leave. Leave the Middle East. We don't have to be there anymore. Good grief.
And of course, it's the Times of Israel. I'll go ahead and read a little bit of it. U.S. President Donald Trump on Wednesday said that the MOU digitally signed this week is not final, warning that Washington would resume military strikes against Iran if they don't behave. This is not kindergarten. This is not third grade. These are geopolitical relationships between regional and world powers. Okay? It would be like you have a Zoomer out there saying no cap for real on God. It's a MOU. This is Trump. If I don't like it, if they don't behave, we'll go right back to dropping bombs right smack in the middle of their head. Okay? Because they've misbehaved like they're a child, like it's children. For 47 years, we just watched him say we had to stop the bombing because we're going to run out of oil in 4 weeks and it was going to be really bad. You watched him on tape say that last segment, last hour, like 15 minutes ago. So, Trump, you can't just keep bombing them. You can't just say, whatever, they've misbehaved. Like, I don't know what degree of it is kosher theater. I don't know what degree of it is old age and losing your mind. I don't know what degree of it is delusional narcissism and arrogance. I don't know what degree of it is Stockholm syndrome and blackmail. I don't know. There's like 12 different factors when you look at Donald Trump and the reasons why he's doing what he's doing today. There's probably like 2,200, 4,000 reasons. I'm going to go ahead and read this article before I forget. The great Larry Johnson, former CIA analyst, basically never wrong, basically the world's leading geopolitical analyst right now. I'm going to go ahead and read it from Sonar 21. Let's give Donald Trump credit for one thing. He kept his word and lifted the U.S. blockade on Iranian ships, and Iran is going to town with its oil tankers moving in out of the Persian Gulf through the Strait of Hormuz. The picture above shows ships marked red and green moving as of 22:55 Eastern Time on 15 June 2026. That does not mean the MOU with Iran, which is supposed to be signed in Geneva on Friday, will hold, but it is a step in the direction of de-escalation. So important. The direction of de-escalation. When have we moved in that direction, ladies and gentlemen? Ever since this conflict started, and even before the 12-day war, it can go all the way back. We need to move and walk in the direction of de-escalation. So the question we ought to ask, why did Donald Trump blink and accept the proposal that Iran proffered way back in April? And this is that same old agreement. I think there are several reasons. This is Larry Johnson saying it, not me. But the principal one is that the U.S. is running out of oil. That's what Trump just said. We just watched the clip of him say we couldn't keep it up for four more weeks because we're out of oil, global crisis. You don't want to see it. That's literally what he said, which means Trump will not be able to artificially suppress the price of gasoline. U.S. strategic oil reserves have fallen to their lowest level since 1983, reports CNN. I think that's when it started being measured as well. The decline comes amid continued drawdowns to mitigate the impact of the conflict with Iran. Reserves have dropped to 340.3 million barrels, last seen during the Reagan administration, who was still building the stockpile. U.S. daily consumption is 20 to 21 million barrels in 2026, which means the reserve can supply 17 days of gasoline, which falls on July 1st. So that's the real timeline, right? That's the midterm timeline. That's the voter timeline. That's the American citizens timeline. 17 days until your modern way of life is over, gone, finito. It's a wrap. Stick a fork in it. Add some seasoning. You're cooked. 17 days. That's how much these people don't care about you. Trump is willing to, you know, have this giant Warhammer 40K tabletop battle where he's throwing the dice and moving the minifigures around, and it's you and it's your life and it's your economy. How much more? How much more must we suffer? How much more must we take? 17 days. That's how many days our leaders give us. You know, say, we'll end it because they got 17 days left before their life is completely destroyed and maybe they won't vote Republican in November. Am I not allowed to expect better or to ask for better or to vote for better, which is what I thought I was doing in 2024? Am I not allowed to be outraged at the level of disrespect I am shown as a voter, as a young person, as an American? Like, these are the questions we must all ask ourselves in this modern era. And this is Larry Johnson again. Donald Trump may be in mental decline, but he still retains enough smarts to understand that an oil shortage and soaring prices of gasoline in July is politically untenable. Yes, it will lose him and all of them the midterms, period. Another factor is that U.S. installations and aircraft in the Persian Gulf took a hell of a beating last week. The U.S. attacks on Iranian installations in the Strait of Hormuz on June 9th and 10th provoked a fierce Iranian response that hit targets in Iraq, CIA bases supporting the Kurds, Kuwait, the Ali al-Salem Air Base, Camp Bering in northern Kuwait, as well as a makeshift operations center near the civilian port of Shuaibah, the Prince Saud Air Base adjacent to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and the Mufwaf al-Salti Air Base in Jordan. The attacks were devastating and reportedly employed some new Chinese missiles supplied to Iran. I want to read this interesting point about the UAE. The UAE, who has been a thorn in the side of Iran and Saudi Arabia and has been identified as an ally, and that's an understatement of Israel, sent a delegation to Iran on June 9th. Reuters reported the UAE had agreed to release billions of dollars for Iran. Two regional sources put the figure at $10 billion, while other two sources put it at $20 billion, with the funds agreed in exchange for Iran halting attacks on the UAE. Hold on. I thought we were protecting all these people. I thought, yeah, it's our missiles, our Patriots, our THADs, our bases that protect you. What? You got to go pay protection money to somebody else? That's what I wanted to touch on there. Our hegemony in the region is over. Okay? They're paying money to China. They're paying money to Iran. They're paying money to Saudi Arabia, back channels, you name it. It's over. All right. Now, we may maintain, you know, some regional position there. We may have troops there, may have whatever. It's all going to be phased out. There's going to be a new security agreement. I predict that it will be within Turkey and the Gulf states. They're going to have to start getting along. And as Israel gets more aggressive, not just to Iran, but to Turkey and to its Gulf state neighbors, places like Jordan, places like Saudi Arabia, that it publicly states belong to Israel as part of the greater Israel project, these nations are going to start to fall away because the big Mac Daddy, the Tony Soprano, has been proven to be a fraud. And that's the United States of America in this analogy, in this equation. Do we have callers on the board? Beautiful. Let's get that punched up. All right. All right. You know what? We got to start it off powerful and go ahead and get some Godzilla graphics up. Okay. Because we got Godzilla from Wisconsin on the line. Godzilla, how are you doing today?
Godzilla.
Do we have him?
Hey, can you hear me okay, Rex, now?
I can now. How are you doing?
Pretty good. And yourself?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Keir Starmer, but just a comment on how you've been talking about Iran. I think majority, when it's like siege, like even in olden times when they're like launching catapults, like these missiles and bombs are dropping are no different, just modern versions. Like real negotiations and deals only happen after months, sometimes years of siege, like you've seen in the Ukraine and Russia war. You know, it's part of like this military-industrial complex bargaining and geopolitics. So I'm not surprised it's going as it is with Trump back and forth. You know, even in regular business deals, it goes back and forth a bunch. It does kind of suck. It does suck, though, I agree with you, because it's like – no one knows what the hell is going on. But anyway, I wanted to talk about Keir Starmer. You're familiar with him. He's over there in Europe.
Of course.
And I thought it was interesting. I never heard this before, but do you know the Seville case?
I don't.
Your dad talked about him a lot. He was like this creepy guy who was on TV who was like, attacking kids and stuff.
Oh, Jimmy Savile. Yeah, of course. That guy is a complete monster. He was knighted. He was rich and he would like donate to like a children's hospital for children that couldn't walk. And then he would go sneak in the rooms. A complete demon.
Yeah, he was a complete monster, devil, yeah. Creature. Yeah, demon. And I didn't know this, but Keir Starmer was like the British equivalent of like attorney general. They call it like director of public prosecutions. And he was responsible of not only like assigning the prosecutor to that case, which ultimately led to nothing, right, even though there were mountains of evidence, but also the review of the case after, you know. So I never knew that Starmer is like literally covering up for Seville, you know, and that's like the person who's like leading the charge for the collapse of a lot of Western Europe.
I mean, what do you expect, though? These people are all demons, right? So, like, the Jimmy Savile thing, it's par for the course. And, of course, Keir Starmer was around for some of that. Like, it just makes sense to me. You wouldn't do this to your own country if you weren't evil, right?
100%. And I'm sure they use all, like, those sex crime stuff like Mossad does or the CIA does with Midnight
right.
Climax to, like, control people.
Right.
You know, like, you get them either willingly or doped up on some crazy drugs,
right,
and then you get like compromising material on them, and then you got them for life,
right,
you know. But the other thing real quick I wanted to ask you your opinion on is,
sure,
like, do you think the situation, since you're like on the like tip of the spear with like Zoomer, millennial, new generation front against Israeli influence in U.S. politics, do you think Israel ultimately will stab the U.S. military conglomerates here domestically in the back at the end of the at the end of their Greater Israel project, or do you think they're going to live up to their deal?
I just don't think the Greater Israel project is achievable. I think all these people, including Trump, including Netanyahu, everybody in the Knesset basically has had a mindset of, hey, we can use the American military might as a cudgel to do whatever we want in the region. The reason why I go off on all this stuff is it's the death of the American empire. It's the death of that ethos. Like, we are not going to be in the Middle East in 10 years because of this conflict, right? So Israel has doomed itself by forcing this war and by forcing us to get involved. Whether it's Section 224, whether it's all these things, we have to be passionately against them and oppose them and bring them to light. It's all over. It's done. There's not going to be this spirit in America, even in 5 years, that's willing to perpetuate this. It's all anybody's going to care about in 2032. 2028, it may be a big deal. There may still be a boomer holdover. But I'm telling you, man, the young people are getting tired of, you know, $20 cheeseburger. The young people are getting tired of seeing, you know, the Israelis and Netanyahu laughing about how they can make us do whatever they want. Young people are tired of all the games and all the garbage. We want agency. And it's very clear due to this war, we don't have any, right? We didn't choose to do this. This wasn't even Trump being megalomaniacal saying, oh, ha, 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 I can go in there and conquer them. Israel was going to attack. This is a Marco Rubio quote. I'm giving it again. Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation. So we had to join in the initial attack because we feared American soldiers would die. Do you see how that's a circle? See how they got us into that?
Mm-hmm. And it's like how I said earlier, you know, just part of like the system we developed of having countries held aloft by their military industrial complex.
Sure.
And, you know, this big game of risk in real life.
It doesn't work.
I think it's obviously problematic. You know, it's just leading to death, and it's going to get to the point where the situation is going to be easier to make life nicer and easier for everyone than continue just endless bloodshed. But I'll let you get to other callers. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
You're all good. Thank you so much. That's Godzilla from Wisconsin. Now let's get to Jeff from Texas on Iran. Jeff, we got about 7 minutes. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up? Do you think that this MOU is going to be an official end to the conflict?
It depends whether or not we go back in after Israel inevitably blows up Lebanon. So I would say no, because I think even if it gets signed, we're going to violate it because we do anything to defend our little brother. You know, or really, it's not our little brother, it's our mistress, right? We'll do anything to protect her. So I don't think it's real. No. I'd like for it to be. I'm on the hopium. I'm white-pilling today. Damn you. I'm white-pilling today. My bad. Not damn you. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm of the same opinion. I think Article 1 requiring the U.S. and all of its allies to end the war on all fronts, including Lebanon, is a super obvious poison pill.
Untenable.
Israel's our ally, and they're going to attack Lebanon because they just can't help themselves. Some other articles I find concerning are that we're expecting Iran to clear the strait and bring the strait back up to its pre-war capacity and volume of ships going through. Within 30 days, when we already know for sure that if the war ended today and the strait was opened, it would take 6 months
right,
to get up to that pre-war capacity.
I heard Larry Johnson say that as well, to remove all the mines and to do whatever. And that's like when Trump came out and said, we seized all these boats, we seized all the oil, whatever, and it was like 2% of normal traffic within the strait. And like that number I just read off, it was 17 days until our reserves are completely gone. We also played Trump admitting it himself, saying we can't do this because in another 4 weeks, it's all going to be over. Do you think when he says that he is, you know, this blind and this cowed and really this retarded to admit the truth to everyone and then go back in there? He also admits the truth talking about Lebanon, saying, number one, the attacks are disproportionate. Like when they use a drone, they'll blow up an entire apartment block or something like that. What's your opinion?
I think it's lip service. I mean, he's at the point in our relationship with Israel that Biden was during his presidency, where he'll pay lip service to it, but ultimately won't do anything
Great
fundamental to change the relationship. So we now have a Democrat policy on Israel, which is still just being their slave
in yes.
the country.
Yeah, 100%. That's actually a great way to put it. You look back at Biden, you look at the relationship between both Israel and Ukraine, and the way that Biden would even try to say, I'm not going to send him jets or missiles. That'll be World War III, something like that. I'm forgetting the exact quote. And they'll pay lip service, and then they'll aid in, you know, attacks deep inside Russia, the nuclear triad. So it is something we have to look at. I'm hopeful because this is the first time we've heard Trump talk like this in a very long time. And in some of these clips, Lutnick's eyes literally pop out of his head. So that also makes me hopeful. I like seeing all the crash outs from the Zionists and from the radicals on the neocon side. That's making me hopeful. But point taken.
I think maybe we get Israel to sit on their hands for a month or two on the Lebanon situation, but the 30-day requirement to get the strait back up to capacity is going to be our excuse to start up the war again, because
right.
they're simply not going to be able to get the strait up to the pre-war volume. It's a total poison pill.
Right. Yeah.
But I'll let you get to other callers.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm going to be right back in the next segment talking to Sean, talking to Lynn, talking to Tim, talking to DiNardo. Looking forward to all that. I got to do a little plug. Go ahead and get 50%off.com up. I want to let you guys know I've got Knockout Sleep Support. Okay. You may have thought it was gone. Bestseller, hundreds of thousands of units sold. Millions of people have taken this product and love it. It's got the melatonin, magnesium, GABA, L-theanine. It's got the blue chamomile, the valerian root, the apigenin, all of it and more. 50%off.com. I've got Knockout Sleep Support. I've got the classic toothpaste y'all may have heard of before, whether that's Super Blue, whether that's the activated charcoal toothpaste from my grandfather, and much more, including colloidal silver, all available at 50%off.com. And hey, you want to get something? Get a sleep product. Get a sleep product that will improve your life. Check it out. That's Knockout Sleep Support, available at 50%off.com. That's 50%off.com. And I'll go ahead and do it. The AJN plug, the AlexJonesStore.com, the most important place for you to go, really, to get methylene blue, methylene red, phenomenal apparel, shirts, knives, hats, anything and everything. We've got it available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Of course, that flagship ingredient, that methylene blue, that T3 iodine. My dad likes to mix it together in some sort of like a sludge formulation. And you know what? Here, cut back to me. We're practicing what we preach. We're being based here, and I'm going to go ahead and take a little methylene blue goodie right now. Now, the great thing about these capsules is that they're all perfectly dosed out to be 10 milligrams of finest methylene blue. We get it from the same place in Florida that does a lot of the medical stuff. This is highest grade, USP grade methylene blue. And that is encapsulated. The feeling of 1776 and liberty. You can get it from us. Subscribe and save. Do all of that at thealexjonesstore.com. And the capsule is so clean, it's not like the blue liquid that'll give you a blue tongue and then ruin your interview, right? And I've done that more than a few times on my own page, on my own channel. I do want to let you know, Gray Area Talks, that's Thursday and Sunday, Gray Area Talks across all social media. Go follow that on YouTube, Rumble, X, you name it. And then the morning show, I am live 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single morning. I was live today. So I'm doing a 6-hour show for you guys because I'm in the morning and I'm here as well. And that's New American Journal. So especially if you're on Rumble right now and you're Rumble Chat, shout out Rumble Chat, shout out to you guys. Go follow me or go subscribe, whatever it's called on Rumble. Go follow New American Journal and go follow Gray Area Talks. If you want to see more of me, I'm live every day, multiple times a day. I love doing it for you guys. It's really the only way to cover the news because the news is all around us. It's ever changing. It's like water. I'm like a fish. I'm like a shark. I swim through it for you guys so you don't have to. And that's Rex Jones News on Twitter. Thank you for that. Rex Jones News on Twitter with a Z. Give me a follow. Check me out. I tweet, retweet literally like every 30 minutes. I got something new because I take it as I'm a reporter. I'm a pundit. I'm a journalist. I'm a gonzo journalist, whatever. I'm out here trying to comment on anything and everything I can, trying to build up coherent worldview with you guys, getting into all of it. Follow Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. Be a part of the New American Revolution. Be a part of 1776. Be a part of AJN. Follow Rex Jones News on Twitter.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its business?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that the U.S. never does it. But we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking.
And let's be clear, though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get out of jail free card, right? We could print as much money as we want, and everybody around the world still needed the U.S. dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery
rounds. But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire us funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment for the last 2+ years. And you just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Well, smoking a little bit on that Mark Levin pack, that Ghost Haze OG Mark Levin Bubble Kush Runtz. Smoking on that. Look how mad he is. Hey, no pants. You're burping all over the internet about Israel and Jews. Israel is not involved. Enjoy. In response to Matt Gaetz's assertion about Netanyahu meeting with Mossad, maybe another false flag plan afoot. Just go ahead and scroll okay, this is Trump's greatest ally. This is the show that Trump watches. This is Trump's favorite talking head. Look how angry he is. Marky Mark, I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting a total nuking of Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran. I'm going to crash out and have my menstruation. Crazy. Just look at that. This is how you know we might be headed in the right direction. Okay? I'm not even going to do the impression. I'm not even going to do the voice. Just look at that. Okay? So we're smoking on that Mark Levin pack. We're smoking on that Mark Levin runts. Okay? We're smoking on that today. All right. Getting back to y'all's calls on the Iran war and so many other topics, not to get distracted by the demon gremlin that is Mark Levin, even though he's actively crashing out right now. Look at him. Look at this person. Would you let this person babysit your children? I don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go ahead and go to Sean in California, Grok on the MOU. Sean, you're on the air.
Hey, Rex. How you doing?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Great, great. Hey, I got to compliment you on, your dad would call it a gut feeling or your instincts. You kind of raging about this memorandum of understanding is appropriate. To put in context what I'm saying, you know, I do that General Drill Assembly stuff, and I was talking to one of my mentors about that yesterday afternoon, and I'm not going to go down what he said, but I'm going to go what my take is, and I'm going to share with you what Grok's take is, and your guts are right on point with this. The way I look at it is when you hear people say they sign an affidavit of truth, well, you sign an affidavit under penalty of perjury. It always has to be truthful. So adding that extra stuff into the title is just a stupid add-on to the document, shows they don't know what they're doing. A memorandum of understanding. If you sign on to something but you don't understand it, that is another bit of legalese and just stupidity. They titled the document and basically told on themselves. So with Grok, what I did to further back up what our point is, I told Grok, explain a memorandum of understanding in legal terms for me. And I put the name of it, of course, in quotation marks. Grok proceeded to do so, but in the core legal characteristics, the first big paragraph, Grok says, in legal terms, an MOU sits in a gray area, I'm sure you'd appreciate that, a gray area between a casual agreement and a fully enforceable contract.
Right.
In other words, it's a gray area. It's legalese. It's right. A worthless document. It's neither black nor white. It's not binding. And so your prediction, for example, that it's going to get shot full of holes, that's why these attorneys are sabotaging Trump. They're right. Sitting around and giving him a piece of crap document that's not worth the paper it's printed on. And I think your suspicion that they're going to just, you know, again, play games up, down, left, right, they're going to be doing it this again. So before right. I leave you that point, 50%off.com, I will be buying some of that super glue that you have there because I've used that before and given it out as gifts. And I'm looking at Alex's three belts he's putting out with Bigley. That's a heck of a deal. Three belts, $99. So you guys are rocking it this week, man.
Thank you so much. We do our best. And when it comes to the stuff in the store, I'll always give you the best item, the best price, the best quality. That's what I was raised and trained to do. The best salesman sells the best stuff. I really do appreciate that. With what you're saying, the United States is agreement incapable. Okay, we all know this. We're aware of this. Now, maybe Trump, theoretically, if he actually had the power to do it, could make the agreement, but he's 80 years old, and like you kind of say, he's being led around by lawyers with the legalese. So with the United States being agreement incapable, with Trump, even though he wants peace and needs peace, being unable to achieve it, what do you think is going to happen when inevitably Israel attacks Lebanon to a degree where Iran has to get involved again? Do we just like restart the war? What's your view on that?
You know, if we really want to fist it to Bibi, Netanyahu, and others, we could create either – now, see, these are going to be simple terms – either a pact, a treaty, or some similar document in which we pledge mutual defense to each other's investments in that region between Iran and the U.S., this whole rebuilding we're going to do.
Right.
If Israel messes up Iran, they might damage U.S. equipment and U.S. employees and workers, and we make Israel the enemy of the U.S., and that'll maybe make Israel, you know, shake a little in their boots, or they'll try to sabotage
right.
it and expose themselves further. What do you think?
Excellent point. I really agree with that, and that could be the silver lining to the reconstruction to that $300 billion. Thank you. Excellent call. Please call in again. I really appreciate that. Now let's go to Regina in North Carolina. Some of my favorite subjects right here, ma'am, with the boomers and the Iran war.
Hey, Rex. How you doing? I tell you, you're amazing. But
thank you.
Let me just tell you, I am a boomer. My husband is a boomer. We are very conservative, and I am totally against the Iranian war.
Right.
Absolutely. But what I do not like is when yourself, your dad, and I love Alex Jones, we've been listening to him for a very long time.
Right.
When you lump all the boomers
right.
in one pile, we are not that kind of people.
I
am very conservative. I am not a Zionist. I don't believe Jews have a special way going to heaven because they
right.
do not. They absolutely do not. But you need to be looking at, I don't know what boomers you're talking to, but I certainly do not believe that at all. When I grew up, okay, I had to work very hard for my money.
Sure.
We were under Carter. We bought our first house. The interest rates were astronomical. The banks didn't even look at you if you didn't have 25% down. We worked our behinds off. So when you look at boomers, please do not lump them all the same, because we are not.
Sure. No, and I agree with that, and that's why I say hashtag not all boomers, and it's what my grandma said, like, you don't have to be a boomer to be a boomer. And when it comes to boomers just in general, it's this voting block in the past 30 years that's been dominant, has had this control, and has taken us, you know, to Iraq, to Afghanistan, now to Iran again. And we just look at it as young people, and we really don't want to be taken to war. I know you understand this, looking at, like, the Vietnam time period and all of that and stuff that we're talking about here on this call. The thing I want to express to you is, yes, maybe I can do a much better job of clarifying and saying not all boomers, maybe coming up with a new term. Really, it's a neocon spirit, but the neocon spirit came from a lot of these boomer politicians that have been in power for forever, and they use their age and they use their experience as an excuse to plunder the country. And that's kind of the main problem. That's why I have to come out, or do come out, and say these things and reference the boomer kind of as like a general group. And I get that we shouldn't do that. They reference us, the young people, as lazy, entitled, untrained.
I would never, ever, ever label any young person as lazy, unless you are lazy.
Right.
Unless you are. But if you're out there working hard, if you're trying to make a dollar, hey, I'm all with you. I do not label any of the young people like that. And not all boomers. I vote the way we vote, my husband and I. We look at the person who's running. What was their voting record? How do they vote? What's going on with them? A lot of people, they have no clue what the person even stands for. So I just wanted to clarify that. I am totally against the Iranian war. I voted for Trump 3 times. I still support him. Do I agree with everything he does? Absolutely not. No. I was born and raised in New York, heard of Trump. He's always been a New Yorker. And you got to understand the way New Yorkers talk. That's just the way Trump talks. He's a New Yorker. I'm a New Yorker. But the thing is, I don't agree with everything he does and everything he says, but yes, I did vote for him. Is he better than the garbage we have out there with these lunatics running on the Democratic side? Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't vote for a Democrat if you paid me. If you paid me. So I just wanted to get that across.
Thank you for the call. I really do appreciate it. Very valid points. I appreciate that, ma'am. Let's go ahead and go to Lynn in Minneapolis. He-Man, the movie, a Christian allegory. I haven't seen it. Lynn, you're on the air.
It's really good. It's Roger Sweet was a devout Christian. And so I love going up to these, you know, I'm a boomer too. A VIP also, but I love going up to them and pointing out, you know, that it has a Christian theme in it.
Right.
And this man was bringing my steak, and I told him, he says, you know, you're right. I'm going to go see it after work, because it's something that, oh, let me tell you this. His chest plate has a Templar's cross on it.
Oh, wow.
I'm worried, you know. I have friends that say, oh, well, I'm just going to let Armageddon come and all like that. What if the Templars had done that and didn't push the Islam Muslims back into the Middle East?
You think that's what's happening now? It's kind of a crusade?
I tell you what, I'm worried. You know, they need to get control. And I'm talking about Israel, too. Israel's hijacked. that name. The Jews have hijacked that name. Israel is a man, Jacob. Israel is 12 tribes, 12 sons by four women. Right. He had a daughter, too. Okay? But one of the tribes don't get to heaven, according to Revelation. And the two sons, Genesis chapter 48 and 49,
right.
They all got prophecies. The two sons of Joseph was included in the 12 tribes.
So what do you think's going on right now in reference to that? How does that tie in?
I think that they need, you know, the Christian Bible was edited. You know what I mean? Things were taken out and things were put in. They better get their synagogues and their mosque. You know, they need to come together and determine, because we're not compatible. Being a Christian, I'm not compatible with you.
Okay, so you're for kind of like a resurgence in the region, saying, "Hey, well, we're letting the Israelis control it. We should be controlling it, perhaps."
In the region there, you know, they've got to come together, and really come together in peace. You know, this fighting. And all like that. Well, some say they're going to fight forever.
Well, I appreciate the call. I thank you for that argument. I've got breaking news right now that I'm going to go to. Deal in effect, U.S. and Iran digitally signed memorandum of understanding. I did it through DocuSign. Can you believe it? No one's been an efficient president like this before. I did it. Hey, Obama, he signed it with a pen. He went, right, right, right. No one's ever going to get a photo of me signing on to $300 billion to Iran, let me tell you. Okay. The United States and Iran, Hezbollah and Hamas, on Wednesday electronically signed the memorandum of understanding for the ending, Axios reported, citing two U.S. officials. The agreement is now in effect. Blah blah desert name, the spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry, confirmed the report, saying, right now, as I'm speaking with you, the text of the Islamabad memorandum has probably reached the presidents of Iran and the United States for signature. He added, it has been agreed that the United States-Iran memorandum will be signed digitally. Once the MOU reaches the presidents of both countries for signature, any violation of it, right there, look at that, any violation of it will carry a higher cost. So that's where we are. Head games, like that Foreigner song. You know, we're entering the danger zone. We're playing chicken for real. Desert Name also stated that while there had been plans for the negotiating teams to attend an in-person meeting, signing ceremony in Geneva or Brussels, the signing of the MOU digitally means no signing ceremony will be held in Switzerland. Why would they go? Why would they go? Oh, we can read the article in Hebrew. Do, 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 do. However you do their little song. Okay. Breaking news. And we got it from Axios as well, the CIA mouthpiece. So you know that it's confirmed that other news sources from Israel, another good place. So you know it's confirmed. It's the overlords. The U.S., Iran, and the mediators are discussing holding the signing of blah, blah, blah. I guess that's outdated. It's done. It's done. So let the chips fall where they may. Let me go ahead and take the next call. Let me talk to Tim in California. Been on hold for a while. Tim, how are you doing? Howdy, howdy.
Thanks for taking my call. You're doing a great job, as always.
Thank you.
I know this is a little bit off in the weeds, but I think it's worth it. You know, Elon Musk is basically, in my humble opinion, he's like the Albert Einstein of our lifetime. He's figuring out things in a clever way. You know, the simplest thing, like Occam's razor kind of concept, the simplest things. And he outsmarts everyone that way. And, you know, he just became the world's first trillionaire with this IPO for his SpaceX.
Right.
But it should be noted, hey, man, he's got all these companies, and only one other went public, and that was Tesla. But SpaceX has been around since 2002. He couldn't have possibly need the money, so what's up with that? And about a week before it went public, I heard a guy give like a 10-minute lecture, and as soon as I heard it, I knew that's absolutely the truth. That's exactly what's going on. And here it is, so I'm going to share it. And you can tell me when you hear it, if you think, yeah, that makes sense. okay, with this AI, you got three major problems. One is you need a lot of land, and it's got to be close to, you know, transmission lines and so forth. And you need a lot of power, like more power than we even have. Right. And then because it gets so damn hot, you're going to need a lot of water, millions of gallons of water to cool it off. And also water that we simply don't have.
Right.
And people are going to be trying to compete in this model. Well, he's already figured out that instead of doing shots into outer space and having them one use only, I'll just have them land on barges, or I'll catch them with chopsticks. I'll just reuse it. And I think he's had over 2,000 reused launches now. It just doesn't seem possible, but he's just really that crazy. He's really going after all this outer space stuff. Well, guess what? If you take AI to outer space, you don't have a problem with land anymore. You got unlimited space. And as far as power goes, there's no clouds in outer space. The sun shines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, unlimited power, free of charge, right? And then thirdly, you don't got to worry about cooling everything down because outer space is 454 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. I mean, it's 2.7 kelvins. I mean, it's basically absolute zero. It's just that damn close to absolute zero. So this guy, since he's already got the whole thing of launching it up there, just like it's an everyday thing for him, no big deal. Think about everyone else now that's chasing their tails, trying to figure out land, power, and water. And this guy can do it from outer space, and he just completely eliminate all three of those things. If you ask me, that's a better mousetrap. I think he outsmarted everybody.
Okay, so you think he's going to take it to space. That is an interesting concept for sure. We talk about the reusable rockets and all of that. You know, out of all the billionaires, I distrust anybody that's worth that much money. But you look at him, they all have to be crazy. He just kind of wants to run around and have a bunch of kids. And that's like, you know, probably the best version of a bad situation you could get there. And I do think it would make sense, instead of poisoning ourselves with it on Earth, maybe we put it in the air, put it above us or something like that. Very awesome call, phenomenal points. Thank you, Tim, for that call. And look at that, unlimited power. We got the Palpatine graphic up there just for you. Really love that. Thank you so much for that. Let me talk to Michael. Michael, you're on the air. Howdy.
Hey, this is actually the Owl Killer, buddy.
Oh, how are you doing?
Hey, not bad. Hey, so I just want to give you guys a plug. Thank God I did not go to Dr. Jones Naturals, because I was about to buy toothpaste off of there. But now that I know that you're running 50% off,
yes.
I'm super happy about that, because I just ordered 4 tubes myself.
Beautiful.
The way I see it. Yeah, the way I see it is, I'm going to use fluoride-free toothpaste. I might as well be getting it from you guys.
Yes.
Now, I really would like to see you bring Nitric Boost back.
Right.
Because I saw Dr. Jones Natural, basically, they did Vaso Beats, but they got a new name on it. So, those two products I loved. I used to love Nitric Boost and Vaso Beats. Right now, I'm just got my stockpile that I did before you guys closed up on InfoWars. But anyhow, so I think there is the only real solution, and I brought it up with your dad yesterday. He doesn't think that he obviously doesn't think that the government's going to go for it. But the truth is, kind of where your other caller was bringing up, or where you were making the suggestion where we provide the security for Israel, that is the cheapest. And it's the only real long-term solution, in the sense that Israel is just too dangerous. And the Jews do deserve to be able to live in peace and not have to worry about being attacked. And I just think that Netanyahu government, they got to go to jail. And we got to come up with some type of deal between Russia and China. But that, you know, that'll start scaring people with Gog and Magog. But where... For the interim, Israel cannot have an elected government, and we just provide them. We just provide safe haven for the United States, for Christians, for Jews, and for Muslims. We don't let anything happen to them. But you know, and I'm against long-term overseas military bases.
Right.
But with the amount, look at what we're spending on the war itself. Look at what we're spending. Look at what the foreign money that we got to give to these countries in the Middle East to protect them from these threats. And if that Jonathan Pollard clip is true,
right,
where he's saying that they
threaten the nuke,
basically where they blackmailed us into, if you don't get involved with us in this war over here, was in the 70s, that, you know, we're going to end up using nukes.
Yes.
Isn't that exactly why we supposedly attacked Iran, was the fact that they have or were on the verge of nukes and they were going to use them. So, and I'm not like people, like, for some reason they can't use what's between their ears. I'm not saying attack Israel. I'm totally against that. But what I'm saying is, if that's the case, then Israel is the actual threat.
Let me come in here. So what you're addressing here is the critical hypocrisy in all of this, which is we can't allow one theocracy to have a nuclear weapon. We back and support another one that already does, right? And this myth of the secular atheist state of Israel founded 78 years ago, that's also the 3,000-year-old state of Israel promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Bible and all of that, is a completely ludicrous idea. And with what you're saying, here's the thing. I'm totally against violent action of any kind as well. Simply just stop giving them the money to do these relentless genocidal and ethnic cleansing campaigns in other countries, right? And the problem with all that is that the vast majority or a large portion of the Israeli population is highly militant, and they see the Greater Israel Project as existential, and they have to do it. We simply have to show them that we're not going to be there as their big brother to help them through that process. And I think what you're going to see, what's already been happening, you can look at Argentina. You can look at Cyprus. You can look at Thailand, for example. You have a mass exodus, no pun intended, but also intended as well. You have a mass exodus of people that are Jewish Israelis leaving Israel because they know it's unsafe, right? So how do you deal with the critical brain drain? How do you deal with the resource drain? How do you deal with being targeted, being hit all the time because you're invading all these different lands, all these different countries? I don't think they're going to be able to keep it up. And I think they'll have to sue for peace eventually. I think they'll have to realize this. It's very scary, though, to see opposition leaders like Naftali Bennett say Netanyahu's not going far enough. We're going to destroy them. We're going to destroy the regime. Well, if Trump and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, and Humpty Dumpty is regime change, it fell off the wall, then there's no point to any of this. So I really appreciate the call. We got about like a minute 45 here. Anything you want to say in closing?
Well, so I think that they have to go for broke because they already see that the way that they're looked at in the rest of the world is already changed. So they're going for broke now. But I think you got to pay attention to what the big thinkers. I don't like Henry Kissinger, but the guy was a genius.
Yes.
And he said about 10 years ago that just on the demographics, Israel was not going to survive much longer. So they have to go he knew that. So they have to go for broke now, and because they realize that the military support is not going to be there. And look, like you said, it disgusts me. Like, I would wrap my shin bone around somebody's head if I saw Jews being persecuted the way that they were on the college campuses and stuff like that. Like, I don't like – that disgusts me. Like, I don't want to see anti-Semitism. But that is the result of Israel's – because people can't put two and two together.
Let me come in here because we got 36 seconds left on the clock. Netanyahu is the greatest anti-Semite to ever exist.
This is
an inarguable fact. No one's made people hate the Jews like Netanyahu has. And like that's just a fact of history, a fact of where we are in the modern world. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the call. We'll be right back with Alex Stein in the third hour. Stay tuned. We're going to get into all of it coming up.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life.
Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look. Vodka. Potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow. The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Bringing in that last hour here, grateful to be here, flying a frigate. I'm my own pimp on a blimp, joined by Alex Stein. Alex, it's a joy to be here with you on the War Room. How are you doing, my friend?
Rex, I'm doing okay today. I mean, I guess it seems like we got the end of the Iran war coming our way. Right. So feels good, I guess, a little bit. But you know, it's funny. It does feel like a little bit of a personal victory now, seeing all the Israel firsters like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro turn on Trump. It just seems a little poetic. It's like poetic justice. But yeah, I guess things are trending in the right direction, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like, they're like, trust the plan, trust the president. What are you, a liberal? What are you, a Democrat? And then we're out here celebrating, going, this is great. We want it to be over. Good job, Trump. And then they're crashing out. It shows where their true loyalties lie.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like, welcome to Obviousville. And I know you and I both know that. But what's so beautiful about this MOU, whatever, memorandum of understanding, is how much they want to see it, how much Shabbos Kestenbaum is, you know, complaining about seeing it, how much Ben Shapiro. So all of a sudden, the guy that they said doesn't need congressional approval to start a war with Iran, all of a sudden, Mark Levin's like, we need congressional approval majority to end this war. So it's like to see them flip-flop. We know that these people are inauthentic phonies,
right.
But to see them do it in 4K, it just proves our point. And it really gives us evidence in the future that we can go back to, just like when Mark Levin was saying he was a never Trumper in 2016 and 2020, I believe. I think he was saying it maybe up until then. It's nice because we're going to have all of these in the chamber to call them out for the next psychological operation about Israel and try to run.
Yeah, no, 100%. I totally agree with that. It's this thing as of where we've been logically consistent and correct from the beginning of saying anti-war. We didn't want this to happen in the first place. Wanted it to be over whenever it's going to be over, as soon as possible. That's why we can say we're against what he's doing at the beginning. We're for this memorandum of understanding because it's wrapped up in that thing of being anti-war. Their position, the neocon radical Zionists, whatever you want to call them, their position is no nuclear weapon, no ballistic missile, regime change, blah, blah. It changes by the day. Right. And it changes by the day because it's an ever evolving goal, is it not?
No, you're exactly right. But you know what's funny, though, is that I bet there's a lot of info warriors. There's a lot of vets that watch Info Wars that obviously love Alex Jones Network. I'm just saying there's a lot of vets that are probably in favor of this war. And I can be a little empathetic to that. But really, if we just break it down to the most simple terms, even Donald Trump says if they got a nuclear weapon, that Israel would be their first threat, then the Gulf states, then potentially Europe. So we're fourth on the list. So most Americans realize that Iran is not an actual nuclear threat to the United States of America.
Never was.
And they showed their hand with this. So I don't think they're going to be able to run this gimmick again. So I'm actually now, and that's why I'm saying I'm trending in the right direction, I feel like we just kind of proved our point that this is unnecessary. And even all the Israel firsters are saying, well, if it ends here, then it was unnecessary. So we were all on the same page.
I played clips in the first hour of Trump saying there's nothing we can do. Like, and that's where we are. And that's what we've said from the beginning. There's nothing we can do. We can't change the government, can't remove the nuclear weapon because they don't have one to remove. All of this, even if they did, look at Midnight Hammer, look at last year, we were told that that was over. So how do you recycle that? Like, how do people, is it goldfish brain?
Literally, it is goldfish brain, and they'll just say, oh, well, they had the secret base the whole time. The Mossad didn't hit it. The United States didn't hit it or hit it. You know, it's like, once again, it's the goalposts always moving with these people. And I think it's so great, though, when we have Mike Huckabee go out there and say that America would not exist without Israel. It's like the brainwashing is so serious from people like the Judeo-Christians, like Mike Huckabee, that really and truly, I'm happy this happened. I'm happy that we have some egg on our face. I don't think that we, even though we did lose this war, I think that Tim Dillon had a really good way of putting it. It's like, we'll still be able to save face because we'll lie and say that this is what we wanted the whole time, even though the Strait of Hormuz was open before, and now we're basically 100%, trying to keep it open.
100%.
So we'll count this as a win, but everybody that's really paying attention will know this is a horrible loss. We cannot repeat this horrible history.
Yes, we'll be right back with Alex Stein. Alex Stein, right back after the break.
Decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The InfoWar continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
A little bit of Don Henley to round out today. Dirty Laundry, classic song. I think a lot of people in news media and talk radio and all these different formats can relate to it a little bit. It always seems to be a deluge of bad news, but it's always a good news day. We got Alex Stein here in the studio with us. Alex Stein, thank you so much. And you've got a tour coming up I want to let people know about. AlexStein99.com. Is that the place to go?
Yes, you know, I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to Atlanta, Philly, Birmingham, Alabama, Austin, Texas, where we're going to be hanging out very soon.
Yes.
So if anybody wants to get tickets, go to alex999.com. If you want to meet Rex, Rex is coming to the freaking Austin show.
Yes.
So we might have him on stage to do something funny. And I want to encourage people, it's going to be an interactive show. It's going to be part comedy, part, you know, debate or whatever. We're going to see where it goes. But my point is it's going to be very interactive, very fun. So if you guys want to have the chance to hang out, meet me. I do a meet and greet after every show. So if anybody ever wants to meet me, this is a great opportunity. So go to alex999.com.
Awesome. An evolving format. We love it. I will be there in July. I think that's the 17th. You're going to be here in Austin. That's Alex Stein 99. Dude, you're all over the place doing all this crazy stuff. I know obviously you're covering things on a Real America's Voice and radio show and other stuff like that. As somebody that goes around and you do the city council events, you go to the Scientology people, you troll them, you call them out. What do you want the audience to know about speaking truth to power and being a free speech absolutist and exercising that First Amendment in the way that you do?
Well, you know, that is a good question, Rex. And I'll tell you this much. I love when somebody's like, Alex, you're funny. Everybody likes being told. Everybody likes it. Rex, when I tell you you're funny,
people
like to be complimented and told you're funny. I'm dead saying.
Yep.
And this is what I will say, though, and I'm not virtue signaling. I promise you I'm not. But one of the my favorite responses that I get from somebody is when they come up to me and they say, Alex, because of your dumb video and the tuck-friendly bathing suit, I went and I spoke at my city meeting. So as dumb as what I do looks from the outside, if we can encourage people to go mess and troll with every single politician, it doesn't matter if they're conservative or liberal, because these guys, they don't care about us. It's really us versus them at the end of the day. Maybe there's a handful of good politicians, but I'm telling you, the majority of them are bad. And I always bring this up now. I watch a YouTube video about Machiavelli, but I think I even said this to you the other day. Machiavelli said that most people are good. But most people in power are bad because they had to do something bad to get in power. And that's just how it works. The people that are in charge of us had to step on somebody's neck. They had to screw somebody over. They had to do some sort of backstabbing, reality TV, vote the guy off the island, and that is what's hardened them, and that's why they don't have empathy for people like ourselves.
That's a great point. And we look at this, like just talking about the Iran war, like before, and you'd think, you know, like our greatest impetus is like, we want the conflict to be over. We want a resolution. We want things to be, you know, fixed, right? But there is no fixing it because it's a false goal because they never had the nuclear weapon and we can't affect the regime change that we wanted. And the people that bring us into these things, you know, whether it's Trump, whether it's Netanyahu, whether it's Lutnick, whether it's Rubio, whether it's whoever, it's very clear that they exist in a stratosphere. And we're on the ground and they view us like ants. And it's just like you say, Hakeem Jeffries, Nancy Pelosi, all of these types, Chuck Schumer, whoever, left and right. It's two wings of the same bird. I know that's an old stoner saying, but it is true. Mm. It is true. There's no running from that or avoiding it or hiding it anymore. And I see this old game of party politics being played both on the left and both on the right. And I'm seeing even like new younger politicians. I'm not going to call this guy out by name. I had a brief little Twitter exchange with him. I'm not going to do that to the guy. But, you know, when you're making jokes and cracking jokes about the Iran war and you're this, you know, anti-government conservative dude, I don't get how you do that. You know, like, who are you playing to? You're playing to the boomers with that. In the same way, if you're on the left or whatever, all those people have been raised on like anti-colonialist, like pro-Palestine stuff. How do you go out there and still say like, we need to support our greatest ally? So whether it's left, right, or center, we're seeing these politicians really hold untenable positions that are going to get them voted out in like 10, 20 years. They don't care because it's about now. It's about the money now, the power now, the access now. You think that's what's going on?
I mean, come on, Rex. You're a very young man still, but you've been doing this a long time, and I don't think you've seen much change in the long time that you've been doing this. So until we get that actual politician that wants to drain the swamp, because listen, I voted for Donald Trump 3 times. I support the guy, but at the end of the day, he's not the same guy that we voted for in 2016. That's just the cold hard facts when it comes to it. And what happened to him? He became part of the establishment, and he was the guy that was supposed to be fighting against the establishment. So it doesn't matter if you're conservative or liberal. If you're part of the establishment, that puts you basically like India, a caste system. There they have a caste system where, you know, the people that are basically rich enough to go to school, they can use an H-1B visa and maybe come to America, and they're not that rich to start with. Or you're a person that literally picks up poop from the Ganges River and gets a, you know, bacterial disease. Yeah. So it's like, that's where we're at when it comes to, here in American politics, the people in power and then us, their constituents, but really they look at us like cattle.
I'm hopeful. I really am hopeful though, because like you're talking about treating us like cattle, at least with Trump, you know, the cloud, the silver lining on the cloud is that he's very obtuse with all of it, right? And all these announcements, the thing that really got me to be a supporter of Trump initially was the 60 Minutes interview where he's being interviewed and the guy goes, you'd be friends with Putin. You'd get along with Putin. You say that Putin's a killer, sir. You know, Putin's a killer. And Trump goes, you think we're so innocent? And I truly thought that was so beautiful because that's the truth, right? Now, I thought he was saying that in effort to, you know, change it, moderate it. I didn't realize he was just going to expose that writ large by doing all the same stuff. That's really wounded me. And I was very hopeful in Trump, and I still am, from the perspective of not the man, but what he represented specifically in 2016. I think we're going to see a lot of that, or somebody new embody that spirit in 2028 or perhaps even 2032, if it takes that long for things to get bad enough for it to happen.
Rex, no, I'm cutting you off. Dude, nobody, and listen, you're a smart young man and probably smarter than me. Nobody's going to be able to take over Trump's coalition. That's what I'm worried about.
Well,
now you see J.D. Vance on The View. That's what I'm saying. It's dead. And you see J.D. Vance on The View trying to, I guess, kind of divorce himself from the Iran war. He's trying to sell a book, but really I think he's trying to set himself up to get a little more popular before announcing a presidential run. But J.D. Vance is... he's mad from all the pro-Israel people, and then all of the, you know, America First people don't really love J.D. Vance either because of his connections to Peter Thiel and Palantir. So it's like, exactly, I'm not a huge I love J.D. Vance guy by any means. So I'm like, who is going to take the baton? The one guy that I think that could do it is a guy by the name of Tucker Carlson. Is that a reality? No, I think that he doesn't have any interest in being an elected politician. But I'm just not seeing – Marco Rubio, yes, the Israel Firsters, we love Marco Rubio, but whatever. I don't know if a guy that's 5'7" or 9", you know, is going to be able to go there, sit next to Gavin Newsom, who's 6'3", has a beautiful family, and it just,
he's
the
libtards
and the gay guys are going to, he's going to get mauled. He's going to get mauled. And then he has a big booty Latina, AOC, whoever the vice president is. It's probably going to get mobbed by her, even if she can't even answer a simple geopolitical question. So it's not always about being the best candidate. It's about being cool.
I agree.
Donald Trump, He used to be cool. He's not as cool anymore.
I agree. The number one thing is name value. It's like how many people know the name, know the face, have like a genuine or not genuine, general feeling of, you know, like goodwill towards like, oh, like that's a decent guy. You know, like it really is the classic, mm-hmm. like, would you let them babysit your children? Like, yes or no. And you look at Gavin versus Rubio. Rubio's got kind of like the, you know, the giant dishes they use to measure like alien life or radio waves from outside the galaxy. He's got those on the side of his head. Okay. That's worse than being bald. Like, that's a big problem. So this is what I say though. Like these people, like whether it's JD Vance or Marco Rubio, they are so glow in the dark creation style that it just makes me hopeful that somebody will run as like a dark horse candidate. Maybe it will be a Tucker Carlson or a Thomas Massey or even a Joe Kent. I don't know. But if somebody goes out there on the stage and pulls high enough to stand close to J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio and says, hey, guys, y'all promised the Iran war would never happen. Y'all signed on to the peace president, to the peace coalition. We won in 2016 on the promise of a referendum on the Iraq war being evil and never should have happened. That's how Trump BTFO'd Jeb Bush. So I think the recipe is there. And this is why I'm being like very cautious. And I put this as statistically significant, like greater than 3% chance, still saying it's very low. I do think all the operative conditions are there for somebody else to run and take that fire. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would support a guy like Joe Kent. But I also get a little disillusioned, though, Rex, because then I see Gavin Newsom has on Hunter Biden, which I think sounded funny, and I would like to get your opinion on that. But real quick, then they show these polls on Polymarket or whatever. I don't even want to shout them out, but on sure. you know all the prediction markets like Kelsey. I'm just saying, on sure. those markets, now Hunter Biden's got a 15% chance, or you know, I don't know if it was that much, but it's like all of a sudden they're taking Hunter Biden seriously. And I don't think Hunter Biden is as bad. I mean, yes, he's doing Ukraine deals, but you know, it's pretty tough to be the son of a celebrity. You know what that's like. And I'm not saying that excuses him being a crackhead and all of his sure. stuff, but I'm saying it is hard to live in your shadow. So I don't think Hunter Biden is as evil as we tried to portray him to be, even if he is a drug addict. My point is they're taking him seriously. We've all seen his penis. We've all seen right. him, all the rumors about him. And then all of a sudden people are like, you know what? He might not be a bad vice president. Right. And so it's like, we are in the clown world. I mean, come on. So Hunter Biden's not as bad as they say, but if they're going to take, they're going to take him seriously as a presidential candidate, what are we doing?
And they'll do the whole Biden pivot of like the return to normalcy, and Biden is the sweet old man. It'll be Gavin is, you know, the nice guy who's going to come in and fix all the problems. And that's literally going to make us live in hell on earth, literal hell on earth. And that's why like Fuentes says it. My dad says it, like we're cooked if the Democrats come back.
Yeah.
So all the criticism of Trump and all like I am not a Trump supporter anymore. Okay. I just want to say that because I've been very favorable today because of the MOA. I know me and you have differing position on that. I cannot support a man that does this and breaks the coalition and spits in all our faces and pees on us and tells us that it's raining, in my opinion, when it came to the war, because I voted for peace. And beyond even the Iran war, I voted for an end to the Ukraine war. Oh, I am little Zelensky. I am little cocaine crackhead. I'm Kevin Spacey. I play president on TV. The neo-Nazi, they say, you are now president. I say, yes, sir. John McCain, Victoria Nuland. Like, it's unconscionable. We spent like $300 billion, 1.5 million people dead, casualties on both sides, whatever you want to throw the figure at. It's insane. And Trump promised to end that before he even got into office. I genuinely believed he had the capability to do so. Now realizing the president really can't do much at all. Do you think the president has any agency? Because we're talking about this position and who might occupy it. Who are the real power players?
I mean, I think he has a little agency, but then he has to pick and choose when to use it, because he used it by starting this war. And we know that he was, you know, his hand was held and he was basically forced. His arm was twisted into this by Netanyahu. But now him trying to end it, you know, there's Netanyahu, Miriam Adelson, they're all in his ear. Hey, you can't end it. You can't end it. And it seems like he's bucking the system when it comes to that. So he has a little bit of agency. But once again, it's like the CIA and the Bill Hicks joke. The CIA, once you're in the CIA, you're in for life. A president's only in for 4 or 8 years. And I think there's some truth to the Bill Hicks joke. You and I have talked about this multiple times, where they take into a room as soon as you get elected president and they show you a different angle of the Zapruder film. And they say, hey, do you like this? Does this look like something you want to be a part of? And the president's like, well, obviously not. And they're like, well, then do exactly what we say. And, you know, I don't think that Trump faked the, Butler shooting, but a lot of people are saying that he faked it and cut his ear, and that was what put him over the top. But I'm a conspiracy theorist, tried and true, but this is my one thing where I would give you a little kickback on. Now you're not going to support Donald Trump. I think even when Joe Biden was president, he was importing illegal immigrants. In a way, because you support America, you kind of support Biden, because I didn't want Biden to totally fail. You know, I really didn't want the country to have auto pin and a bunch of. So I'm saying, even if you don't like Trump, I think you're still rooting for him subconsciously is the point.
I'm rooting for the country, and he's an aspect of the country. He's an archetype of the country, unfortunately, in my view. And like, you do want the president to do well, right? Like, I remember when I was a kid.
Like, you don't want him to do bad just to prove that Israel first was right or wrong.
Let me give you an example. So when I'm a kid, I draw a not so nice picture of what I would like to happen to Obama. All right. And I show this to my dad, and my dad tells me never do that again. And that it's wrong. And right. As the president, you're supposed to respect him. Okay. And this is my dad making the Obama deception documentary and doing all this stuff at that same time. Right. So like that foundational, like fundamental perspective of like, this is the president of the United States. I do understand that. I do agree with that. I want him to do well. I want him out of the war. Right. So like we can differ on what the definition of support is. Like Bill Clinton, it depends on what the definition is Hillary. You gotta please stop. Don't take me to the island again. Like we can play with words. The thing is, like, of course I want him to do well. Doing well means leaving the war. That's my opinion.
Yeah. No, and I think you're exactly right. That's why I'm not going to debate you on having, you know, hard feelings about the campaign promises he made
brutal.
And then immediately did the different.
It's brutal, dude. It's brutal because we had a mandate from heaven to lead forever. The Democrats were completely destroyed. Trump had amazing policy that he ran on. Everything, the Doge, the peace plan, all that got scrapped in favor of really people that live thousands of miles away from us, not even domestic policy. And I got to say, the level of grifting and corruption. You were talking about Hunter Biden earlier with Burisma and all of that. Dude, that is gone now. That is not a talking point, because when they bring it up, let's say Hunter Biden does run or whatever, and they have a debate and it's, you did da 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 with blah, blah, blah. And you're like, you worked for the guy that made a presidential crypto coin.
Dude, I was just talking about this, literally, Rex. I'm sorry, I'm about to crash out. I was talking about the Biden crime family. And I literally said, you know, I've been approached by 10 different cryptocurrency companies that said, oh, we can make a pimp coin. We can make a pimp on a blimp coin. And every single time, and I'm not some sort of guy that tries to pretend to be like, you know, holier than thou, because I'm not. That's not who I am. But I try to be honest as much as I can if I'm not like trolling and it's not a joke.
Me too.
And I would say, no, I would never want to financially put somebody through a hardship that they don't unnecessary, you know, that it's not necessary to them. It's not a real investment.
Yeah.
It's not fair. Like, these people are investing in it thinking they can make money. Like, that's the worst kind of thing. It's to take advantage of people, even if some of these people are rich and you're giving them this, oh, I can make money on this coin. I'm going to be on the part of the Trump coin. Doing a crypto scam is the lowest of low. Hawk Tua ruined her career. And everybody loved Hawk Tua for 5 minutes. She's been on that thing. And all of a sudden, we hate that girl. Why? Because she did a crypto scam. And Trump did it with impunity. And I'm still confused how that is not a bigger story. And I disagreed with that 10 billion%.
Right. And the thing is, it undermines the future moral position of the party. Like, if you care about the Republican Party, if you care about Trump even, if you care about the administration, them doing these things to the crickets, to the no criticism, no outrage, what that does is it shows your coalition is weak. Right. Your coalition doesn't mean anything. So what happens when you go to war, when you go to an election, that's not a political war, when you have a campaign, literally it is a war. They're running against each other. They're fighting against each other, and they got infinite ammo and you gave it to them. And then you point at us and you go, you're a Democrat if you don't support. And it's like, well, you gave them the talking point. Like, I guess you made being like good in this aspect, you know, one of their attributes. And that's like the worst thing you could do if you're a political party. Do they not understand that?
No, I think they do understand it, but this is, I was talking to another guy. Well, Noel Fritch, he's the guy that runs, the National File. And I said, he was really bashing Trump. I interviewed him. He was bashing Trump. And I'm like, dude, I agree. Trump's doing a lot of sketchy stuff. I think he's going to get impeached. But I go, if he's doing something that would put his family in jail, I don't think he would do that. And then he was like, dude, nobody ever goes to jail. When you're a president, you just get impunity. Like, it's the same reason how the Biden crime family didn't get held accountable. And Trump has realized that in this third term, whatever you want to call it. You know, he took off 4 years during the Biden presidency. But he's realized, like, the game's rigged. So if everybody else is cheating, why don't I cheat a little bit? And so I think that he understands that nobody's ever going to hold Trump accountable. And maybe that's just how it works, because you're a president and you have a different set of standards. And we do live in a two-tier justice system. So he realizes that. But if I was Eric Trump and I was Donald Trump Jr., guys that are nice, they follow me on social media, they're not going to show you any remorse, if there is egg on your face, if there is any T's that are not crossed, and then there's any dies, any I's that are not dotted, I think that I would be very worried if I was doing crypto and I was potentially sending direct messages to Daniel Cormier saying a fight is rigged. I don't know if that was real.
That
or
was
fake.
So I'm, insane. Speculation.
Yeah, I tend to think that is rigged, but I'm saying if they're really playing that loose and fast, which I hope Eric Trump is not, then these guys are cooked. So forget about the country. These guys could potentially go to jail unless your dad was right when he went to Bohemian Grove, unless we're all correct, all the conspiracy theorists, and that once you become in the elite club, you can do this without, you know, fear of retribution or actually being held accountable. Maybe a humiliation ritual, but no jail.
Sure. Well, I think the double-edged sword of the magic that they practice with the occult rituals and the demonic stuff and the secret societies and all that, the flip side is that we all have access to this phenomenal technology now. Everyone's basically got a scrying mirror in their back pocket with their cell phone. Mm-hmm. Anybody and everybody can do media and can talk about it, and it's this unique period in history. We have the information overload and, you know, it's like the Wild West. You don't have the technology to do the full censorship yet or to use the full AI surveillance grid. All of that is coming. I do feel like we're in a unique time, though, where we can criticize these people and call them out. Like, the emperor has no clothes, right? Like, the country, the empire, whatever you want to say, it has no clothes, and anyone can pull out their phone and take a photo of the empire naked, right? Maybe you go to the homeless people. Maybe you go to this destroyed infrastructure. Maybe you go to the hollowed out town you live in. You say, hey, look, this ain't looking like what I was promised. This ain't a golden age. It's kind of a golden shower. And I think that's a way of a lot of people feeling right now. I think they feel like they're getting peed on and told that it's raining. And I think when you do that to people, it's like the fundamental aspect of unfairness, right? I think back to the chimpanzee in the zoo, and there's one chimp and there's another chimp or another family of chimps, and the zookeeper comes and gives one of the chimpanzees, only one of them, a birthday cake on its birthday. The other chimpanzees, they see that, and after a few years, one day when it brings the cake, after it eats it, it gets its ease or tired of being screwed. We're in a cage watching one group of people get preferential treatment, whether that's oligarch class, Zionist, whatever you want to call it. Like, I would call it transnational capital beyond anything else. The money interests, the people, the American people are being told you don't matter. And I think they're seeing that for the first time. Where do you put the outrage level at? Because I put it at about 8. People, I'm hearing people curse at the pump, Alex.
Yeah, no. People are so frustrated at the grocery store. Just, you can tell when you're, you know, talking to the girl that you're checking out. I even said that the other day. I just went in for some cat food. It was like $94. And I was like, gosh, that's expensive. And she's like, everybody's saying that. She said that to me. And so I think a lot of people are feeling the pressure. It doesn't matter even if you're making 6 figures, because now in the past, I think 4 years or 5 years, the dollar has been devalued by 30%.
Right.
So it's just ridiculous that even if you're making a decent amount of money, it's not enough to survive. And so the cookie will crumble. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't want the 2008 style crash, but I will say this. I'm not an accelerationist. I do feel like there needs to be, critical mass. We need to hit critical mass. And I'm not trying to think of a critical mass where everybody's just defaulting on their home and getting, you know, evicted, but there needs to be a critical mass very soon, because not enough people are woken up. They're watching Fox News. They're thinking the stock market's fine because Trump is launching Tesla, you know, or whatever IPO, SpaceX IPO, that's artificially inflating the market.
Yes.
So they think their 401ks are good, when in reality it costs $30 to feed one person at McDonald's in 2026.
Right. And people ask me, they say, hey, kid, why have you been playing the stock market? Just get rich, play the casino. And I say, hey, I try not to gamble. Like, I really do. I try not to sports bet, even though I might do that sometimes. I try not to gamble. How am I supposed to have any faith in this economic system that's boom and bust, giant bubble? And like, we just see it throughout the decades, throughout the different eras. And with the AI, with the SpaceX valuation or the X valuation, whatever it is, it's just, we're seeing all the indicators, right? You can watch a movie like The Big Short. You can think about today and go like, huh, maybe we can make the same type of movie about today with the military contractors and all the wars and all the debt, right? Because that's the main thing, is the debt. Our debt is greater than our treasury reserve. The treasury reserve is like $32 trillion. The debt is now, get the debt clock up really quick, please, if you can, so we can show people that. This is really what you're talking about, Alex, and we're going to go ahead and get back into that into the next segment. Thank you for being here with me. I really appreciate it. I want all of you guys right now, look at that number.
Are you happy with that? Is that something you're proud of? Does that represent, you know, our country, our nation? Well, it might make your blood boil and your stomach turn, but it does. That is America right now. $39 trillion in debt. I'll be right back with Primetime 99 Alex Stein after the break.
Three big announcements right now. We have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition. And then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, in the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America, 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyrannies of 1776, I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, Ride Fast, Live Free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 Free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the Deep State. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can, you know, promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you're really going to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. Hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com. New America's 250th birthday limited edition, July 4th, apparel now available. And right now, introductory, they're 30% off all apparel on the site, not just the American 250th birthday limited editions. It's only available for a month and a half. These designs are limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it so we have a relationship with you. And so the only way you miss out is not getting our T3, our bovine colostrum, our ultramethylene red, our Shilajit, our CMOS. They're all amazing. But if you do anything, methylene blue and the water filtration system, when you take this out of the box, I've never seen, I went and checked. It's the highest stainless steel there is. And it turned out it wasn't that much more. I mean, it was somewhat more, another 30% more to have this. But, I mean, it's just standalone. Nobody's got anything even close to this. I congratulations, Bigley. I am very impressed. Very, very impressed. I know a winner when I see it. And this sexy beast is going to help so many people cut out all the garbage out of their water, one of the biggest things you can do to take control of your life. And it's going to fund this operation. So I am literally in love with this. It looks like Marilyn Monroe to me right now. I forget the term when you're attracted to, like, sports cars and objects. I've never been sexually attracted to, like, a sports car, though I thought they're cool. Never been sexually attracted to... I'm actually being a little sarcastic, but I'm not. I'm actually physically attracted to this right now, okay? This is... because I know it's going to help people. I'm being silly. Actually, kind of not. What sexy is it's great. I know a home run when I see it, and I know this is just another big victory. So thank you so much for all you and your support and Bigley knocking it out of the park.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Right.
Rounding out today's War Room Live, I'm joined for the final segment by Alex Stein. We're having a very interesting conversation about the war, the state of America, our future, and, you know, present politics. And we were having a very interesting talk off air about the data centers. And, you know, you're kind of bringing in an interesting perspective about China and, you know, our competitiveness there, or lack of competitiveness there. What do you see developing in the data center world?
Well, you know, I was just in West Texas. I was at Texas Tech University, and they said that there's some big data center out there they're all fighting against, and that all these farmers are being affected because the water reservoir is being tapped because they need so much of this water to cool all of the, you know, technology in the data center. And that does sound bad. I agree with him. I'm pro farmer. I don't like eminent domain. We need to actually get people that are in Congress and in the Senate that you can't just get market value if the government wants to take your house. They should pay you twice as much, in my personal opinion. And so what's happening now is there's a lot of people that are farmers that own like 1,000 acres and like, well, we just need 100 of your acres. And farmers are being forced to sell it. So I don't like the eminent domain aspect. I don't like the aspect that they're taking, you know, water from farmers. But then I read this other thing. It's like to farm macadamia nuts takes as much water as to run a data center. And I'm like, okay, well, is this misinformation? Because I want to be intellectually honest. You know, I do a lot of debates, just like you, Rex. Sure. You know, I do like to do a little research if I'm going to talk about this. So then I read this article that did say that there is some sort of effect that it does have on the environment. And this is a more of like a libtard, I forget which publication it was or which outlet it was. But they were saying this is a pro data center argument. They said, well, even if it isn't great for the environment, if we don't build these mass data centers, AI is coming whether we like it or not. And then China is going to have all the AI centers and all the data centers. And then China, every single, whether it's Claude or whether it's Grok, all of our American AI platforms are going to be run on Chinese data centers. So to me, I don't trust China. I definitely don't trust America either, but I trust China even less than America. So I'm like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So do we want the data centers or do we want to rebuke the data centers? And I was asking you this earnestly because I figured you might know better than me, because I'm sure your dad has probably done a lot of research, more research than me on this subject.
The data center thing is particularly insidious to me because of, like, you look at the 64 square mile facility they're building up by Salt Lake. Kevin O'Leary is doing, and some of these other examples. I've heard prominent, very high IQ polymath type people like Mark Dice and others, or Mike Adams, excuse me, talk about it and say, hey, essentially, there's no reason why you'd ever need this much computing power, this amount of space. You'd only want it to run like a simulation of creation, a simulated world that could give you present and then future prediction powers based on, you know, our environment, bringing that down into the lower dimension, bringing that down into 2D. So that's what I'm afraid of on a high level. What you're saying, of course, about the Chinese example, the Chinese have already pioneered AI in a means that, like, they don't need as much computing power as we do because they've simplified it, right? Now, you can say ours is more advanced, and it still is more advanced. I just don't know what the future looks like anyway. I do see it as a thing as, like, well, it's our entire stock market now. If NVIDIA falls, if any of these companies or valuations fall, we're all cooked, essentially, or anybody that owns stocks is basically cooked. And that means, by and large, the American economy is over. So do we have to do it? Do we have to develop it to be competitive with China? It's just like, my Skynet is better than Xing Dao Zipinga. You know, like, it's the same thing, you know,
tiny hat, rice,
whatever.
Yeah, I know, dude, you're exactly right. It's like our Skynet versus the Chinese version of Skynet. I think that is a perfect example. And when it comes to AI, and I like to get in the weeds, and we only have a short show, but I do think there is some sort of satanic antichrist thing with AI. And I would argue that the military has probably had some form of AI. Maybe it was just a search engine and it wasn't as intuitive, but they've been able to put in Rex Jones and know if you've ever, you know, had any, probably if you've ever been in trouble in school or whatever. Absolutely. File is public, they've been able to use an algorithm to, you know, put all that together. So I think the military's had this for a while. So my point is this, I do think there's something evil about AI. I still use it to answer questions all the time because I need information for a debate, but they're going to use it to police us, to create a police state.
Yes.
And so that's why I do think they need all this data center, because they need the infrastructure. So when they put us on the social credit system, that they have the ability to actually hold all of that data. So I know that it's bad, right? I know that it's bad, but is our Skynet worse than the China Skynet.
Well, that is the thing. You talk about building the social credit score. We've always had like the mass data collection. You know, they know everything about you from the time that you're born to the time that you die. The thing is, it's so much information that literally someone in the past had to go, well, file A, Alex Stein, blah, 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 Z. Now they just type it up and then boom, they got everything. And that's the issue with the AI is it completes the surveillance system. It completes the surveillance grid. That is what Big Brother is. Big Brother is always watching you. No human can watch you all the time. You know, even if it's like the TSA guy from South Park is watching 1,000 monitors, that guy's going to fall asleep. That guy's going to jerk off. That guy's going to smoke a cigarette, whatever, right? The AI doesn't do any of that.
No, and what's also bad about the AI that people have been talking about, and this is just obvious, is that it's enabling people's delusions. Like people are talking to the AI so much and thinking that they came up with some great plan, and the AI will be like, no, you are the first person to think this thought. So like, that's the other bad part about yes. AI. It's kind of making people like mentally ill. Not that we're already mentally ill
yes.
enough. And then we mix in AI enabling all of our dumb thoughts. Like that's where I worry about it. So when it comes to the surveillance state, they can literally put our data in and they say that they can predict our future decisions. So it's like a Minority Report with Tom Cruise where they're going to probably potentially, maybe not in our lifetimes, but I wouldn't put it past me, arrest us for crimes that they predict that we would do, just like they're going to bomb Iran because they predict that they might bomb Israel. It's like you could look at that example, and I think you could extrapolate that to humans in the future.
But it's so absurd that I think it's not inevitable, right? Like when you break it down for people, you explain, hey, they've got this, and maybe you should be active against it, active about it. The majority of the American voting population doesn't vote. So I really think if you wake people up, you make them aware of these issues, and if you have common sense candidates that are actually addressing them saying, hey, like we need a digital bill of rights, okay? People, the libtards, always say, well, the founding fathers said that you can have a gun, but they had muskets. And that's not true. They had miniguns. They had cannons. You could have your own private military fleet, but they didn't predict the cell phone. They didn't predict the internet. They didn't understand all these things, especially the new digital public square, the place where we exercise our free speech. These companies, they enjoy Section 230 protection, meaning they operate as platforms the same way like water is a platform, right? And it's legally protected. If you're using water in a murderer's house, it's not the water company's fault, right? But these companies act as publishers and they say, no, we actually censor. We decide what you can and can't say. And they enjoy that same liability protection as being a platform.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the scam. So they literally can operate with impunity. And, you know, when it came to like the COVID lockdowns and you saw that the FBI was reaching out to Facebook to shut down anybody that was anti-vax, I would argue this, and I'm not trying to name drop, but I just did a big story with O'Keefe Media Group where we caught the player of community relations on a hot mic saying that they were not allowed to show Trevor Williams on any of the social media platforms because he spoke out against the perpetual nun drag queens at the Dodgers and that he was an open Christian. But he also revealed in the interview, Rex, that when you go to the Washington Nationals game and you get on their Wi-Fi or you download their app, that they take all of your data, including your Google search history. We went, man, on the street and asked people, do you care about the, you know, attack that he's a Christian. Everybody said, yeah, that's not cool. But when you told them, hey, you know, they have all of your data when you go to a game, most people are like, well, who cares? Everybody has my data anyway. So we've become apathetic to our privacy. We have no privacy. And I think everybody understands that. And that's what's so scary is that we don't even have the idea that we have privacy anymore. Right. Everybody understands when you sign the terms of service, you're cooked.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I just want to break that spirit, man. I want to get people to care. I think the war is a building block to that because people are realizing, hey, foreign policy does actually apply to me. So if we can get them to make that bridge, if we can get them to understand that fundamental fact of it's not just being anti-war because it's cute and cuddly. It's being anti-war because we want to live in the same way we want to protect our privacy, our free speech, gun rights, things like this. I do want to close with this though. You're on tour. You're on tour. We talked about it a bit at the beginning of the hour. I'm going to be joining you in Austin. Definitely will go on the stage with you if you want me on the 17th.
Yeah, I'd love you.
Tell them about
you.
This.
I'd love you to do that.
Appreciate that.
Well, I mean, we're going to be in Austin. Rex will be hanging out. That's the 17th, but I'm coming to Birmingham. I'm coming to Raleigh on the 28th. I'll be in Atlanta, Philly. I'm going to Buffalo. I'm going to 9 cities in about 28 days, and it's all through Helium Comedy Club, and they own Cap City in Austin. So if you guys want to come hang out, it's going to be an interactive show. We do Q&As, and we always take pictures of people after. And listen, this is the one thing that I would encourage people to do. go out and have some fun, have some gratitude. I know Rex and I, for the past hour, we've been a little low vibrational because we're just talking about the bad things in the world. But I guarantee you, Rex has a beautiful life. I have a beautiful life. The fact that we're alive today,
because yes,
there's a lot of people in Gaza that would trade positions with us in 2 seconds.
Yes.
Even if you're in debt, they would love just a hot meal and a shower. So try to have some gratitude, because there's always somebody that has it worse. And comparison is the thief of joy. So if somebody's doing better than you, don't compare yourself to them, because you are your own biggest enemy. It's you versus you.
Look,
I know Rex feels the same way.
If someone's doing better than me, if they're bigger than me, it's steroids. If they're smarter than me, they're a nerd. If they're richer than me, it's daddy's money. This is always the cope, right? We got to love everybody. And I think that's so key. Every day is a gift. And understanding that, we get the mm-hmm. privilege to be on this planet, to worship God, to worship Jesus Christ, to be here, have families, to be fruitful and multiply and have more humans in the future. That is like my number one goal, to express to people, with the doom and gloom, with the negativity, expressing, yes, this is going on, but we can have something better. So when I cover it, being a little low vibrational or whatever, it's all in the aspiration of waking people up to want a better future.
And Rex, you said it best. All those things are very positive. We should have gratitude, but even have gratitude for the chips and queso, or
yeah,
the free chips and salsa that all, but all the people in Japan are freaking out. They come here for FIFA and they get an order of free chips and salsa. They're crashing out. We're
yes.
used to that here in Texas, Rex.
Spoiled,
we don't have any
rotten.
Gratitude. I expect it. I get mad if they don't give me enough chips. And then people in Japan are like, oh, you know, konnichiwa. They love it. So have some gratitude, even when things
yes.
are tough, because somebody's got it way worse.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alex Stein. That's alexstein99.com for those tour dates. You want to go, I'll be with you on the 17th. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Peace.
The Pimp on a Blimp. We always get the biggest guests, the best guests. We will see you soon, Alex. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you being here today. And yeah, sure, there might be a little doom and gloom, maybe a little bit of negativity. It's all in the service of waking people up and getting them to realize all of these things are unacceptable. The mass surveillance grid and the data center that's going to use 10 times the power of all humans on Earth, but then you can't eat a steak and you're bad because you're a Christian? We're not doing that anymore. We vote for a peace president that promises no new wars, and we get led into another war in the Middle East. We spend $400 billion if the MOU is in fact ratified. People aren't going to accept that much longer. I'm here for the pro-human future and for the self-actualization of humanity. I want everyone out there listening to me right now, the biggest thing you can do is go tell another person, hi. Go tell another person, I love you. Go shake somebody's hand. Open a door for somebody. Pay for somebody's groceries. Do whatever you can to show people that there's good in the world. Because with all this stuff, all this negativity, I still believe in the positive future that we can all have together should we choose to accept it. I really, really do believe in that, you guys. I really, really do. So I've got a lot more news to cover. I'll be back in the chair probably tomorrow as well. I really wanted to ask Alex, and I forgot about James Fishback. I want to think what, or I want to hear what he has to think about his prospective chance of winning. Of course, we've got Byron Donalds running against him in Florida. I want to encourage you, if you're in Florida, go check out James Fishback, see if he's somebody that might interest you. You know, I got into a little debate on my show this morning about this with a co-host of mine, Anthony Graffio, talking about James Fishback. And here's my thing. I don't want the perfect to become the enemy of the good. Sure, a candidate might be flawed. Sure, they might have a position here or there that I don't agree with, whatever. If you're anti-war, if you're pro-divestment from Israel, if you're pro no more neocon wars in the Middle East, no more data centers, no more inflation, that's what we need. That's what we demand going forward, not just from a gubernatorial candidate, not just from a state Senate candidate, but from our presidents as well, from the people they appoint as well, and from the permanent bureaucracy that everyone always talks about. You know, they refer to the deep state. They're always telling us about the deep state and scaring us about it and then participating in it and becoming a part of the swamp. I do believe, whether it's Tucker, MTG, Joe Kent, or whoever, you're going to get people in there that have enough skin in the game to say, hey, let's play ball. Hey, you know what? If I'm in the Oval Office, you make me president, and then you show me that video of the Kennedy assassination, I'm going to pull out my cell phone and take a video and post it before you assassinate me. You know? We can't do that. We don't live in that sort of society. Who says that? Who's going to be the guy to break the matrix, to break this machine, to show humanity it's possible to walk out the door? And this is an analogy, right? So like, life is like a jail cell, and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is a way to get out of there, right? And serving him and worshiping him and being a Christian. However, life is comfortable. The jail cell is comfortable. We like being in it, right? Our jailer is very kind. That's the devil. He gives us temptations and treats and pain. Just make the decision, instead of serving the jailer and getting all this crap stuff, to walk out the door. And that's spiritually, that's politically, that's economically, that's all of it. Choosing to decide, hey,
You know, I might just be one guy. I might just be a little ant, like in A Bug's Life. But when one ant stands up, if all the ants stand up, we can put a stop to all the stuff happening right now. I do truly believe that. I don't think, you know, it's funny, Joe Kent and Anthony Aguilar, they both laughed when I said this. It's kind of an internet saying. I looked up the origin of it. There is no defined origin. The propaganda wouldn't be necessary if the situation were hopeless. I do truly 100% believe that. And whatever you're fed, whether it's somebody trying to get you to support a data center, somebody trying to get you to support neocon wars in the Middle East, somebody trying to get you to support the status quo and you say, hey, man, like the quartering said, shout out to the quartering, the quarter pounder, when he came on my show and debated me and played unk. Yeah, look at that. If the situation was hopeless, the propaganda would be unnecessary. 100% true. The quartering comes on my show and says, well, all the presidents are bad. All the presidents are bad. You're going to understand when you're my age. And the thing is like, I've been involved in politics longer than Jeremy. I have much more of a political foundation and understanding for the world, both domestic and foreign policy, than Jeremy does. That's the real name of the quartering. I have all of this. And beyond all of that, I have my youth. And I look at the 50, 60 years, God willing, maybe even more, that I have left on this planet. And I look at what fat, rich, old men are telling me is just the future that's set in stone. And they're a whale chungus. Get the whale chungus up there. Go ahead and show him, because this guy came on my show. I called him out for a debate. He said, no, we only do it right now, tonight. And I'm driving home, going to do gray area on Thursday night. Right? I'm driving home to debate the quartering. And he comes on my stream. He plays unk. He plays unk. And he goes, well, you don't understand how the world works, young man. You don't quite get it. And then he laughs and says everything he's ever said on Twitter politically is a joke. And that's his defense, his support of the Iran war. Well, Jeremy, you tried to play unk. You tried to be cool. You tried to big dog with your Rumble and YouTube subscriber count. We're talking about you right now on AJN, buddy. So I hope you enjoy that. He deactivated his Twitter. He crawled back. He's back on the internet. All these people that are pro-war and lie about their position, he said glass them all or something. Bury them all, I believe was the language that he used. And then he wants to play unk and be cute and say all the presidents are bad. No, it's not all the presidents that are bad. It's that, but it's also you, bud. It's also people like you that voted for all this, bud. It's also people like you that took us into these forever wars, bud, over and over and over again. And your experience on the planet makes it that much worse, right? You've been here for so long. You're the wise unk. Why haven't you put a stop to this? Am I going to have to be the guy to do it? I guess so. As Trump would say, somebody's got to do it. I guess I'm going to be the guy to do it. I don't want to be in this position. This position is dangerous and terrifying. But you know what's even more terrifying? Living a life like the quartering, where you're a pro-war chungus because you don't believe in a better future. I may have problems. I may be a wicked sinner and all of that. But at least I'm not a pro-war chungus that doesn't believe in a better future. And that's where we are. You can choose to be on my side, the side of people that say, hey, we might not know how we're going to do this, might not know when we're going to do it, but we're going to walk in the spirit of wanting something better versus all the rich, fat, old men that are going to tell you that a future where we have sunshine and puppy dogs is not possible and it's storm clouds forever. And I just don't see how in 2028 that's a viable political message for any party. And I think both the Democrats and the Republicans are going to try variations on that idea. I think they're going to try to sell that to people. I know the audience out there is wise to it. You're smart to that. And you got to wake everyone else up around you to realize it's really two wings on the same bird. It's all a giant scam. They take us to war. They put us in debt. They want us to be slaves. They want us to be cattle. They so much want that. They want to get rid of us and replace us with a third world underclass of people that don't even know what our rights, culture, and history are. So once you start waking up to that, and once you stop being complicit in it, is the day you start living. And that's why I'm so honored to be hosting the InfoWar here, hosting the InfoWar on the Alex Jones Live War Room. It really is, you know, honor to be in a pole position fighting the enemy here. And I really do appreciate it. I appreciate all the great crew making today's show hum. I really appreciate everyone out there in the audience. I'll close things out with this. If you want to support the new frontier, the next battle, the next fight, I want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is literally a product on there for anybody and everybody, whether it's for you, for a family member, for a friend, for a gift, whatever. We've got the best Patriot apparel. We've got the best supplements. We've got the best hats, the best knives, the best belts, the best everything. Water filtration, all of it. I've always said I'm a humble water filter merchant. We have that available now, so it's true again at thealexjonesstore.com. Proprietary formulas like Ultra Methylene Red, a invention of this operation, a very powerful supplement, Atomic Defense, MK Ultra, all these amazing things and more available at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, now I'm going to do a little bit of a personal plug. I am live every single morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., New American Journal. Go ahead and get that Rumble up. I want people to find it. It's the same name on Twitter, New American Journal. That's where you find all my clips, where you find the morning show that I do. 3 hours every single day, Monday through Friday. Got phenomenal guest hosts, got phenomenal producers, all of it. Edits, we got the memes, we got the overload. We're working towards getting better. It will really help the show and help me get better guests if we're able to pump that number up. And that's New American Journal, and that's on Rumble, and that's on X. So that's the morning show. Right? That's the morning show. That's New American Journal on Rumble and on X. If you want to tune in to the marquee show, to the show of the evening, keep this up for a second, New American Journal, that's 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Go ahead and follow. No, Rumble chat, I know you're going crazy in there. I love you guys. You're just like me. Go ahead and follow New American Journal, and then go ahead and pull up Gray Area Talks. Gray Area Talks, the marquee evening show. That's the big show. That's Thursday and Sunday evening from around 7:30 to 9:30 to 10:30. It depends. My co-host, Tim Tompkins, we always have a phenomenal deep dive. That means we do deep research into something that is like a foundational or causatory moment in the past and time, or a present conflict right now. Everyone needs deeper dives, deeper information. That's what we give on the Gray Area, as well as phenomenal guests. Had Suleiman, had Fishback, had Chase, had so many amazing people that I know you're already a fan of. You got to go follow both of these on Rumble. Gray Area Talks, and then, I was about to say 50%off.com, that's my store. Gray Area Talks, and then New American Journal, and it's the same name across all socials. And if you want to support me, JonesCBD.com, that's JonesCBD.com, and then 50%off.com, that's 50%off.com. I have literally been doing this my entire life. It's all I know how to do. I have been a supplement manufacturer, a supplement seller, e-commerce online, and B2B, and a supplement fulfillment center owner as well, just fulfillment center owner in general. I'm an American businessman. And that's what I've been doing for the past 5 years. I've come back into broadcasting because I have to do it. With great power comes great responsibility. That's Spider-Man. I have to be here in the studio, but I've been running my business for many years. I'd appreciate it if you check it out, and the independent shows as well at Gray Area Talks on Rumble and X and YouTube, and at New American Journal on Rumble and X. I really appreciate y'all hearing that plug and hearing me today. I am Rex Jones, your embattled host, about to sign off, but I got to run down the clock. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. And I know you're out here for the same reasons that I am. You're outraged about this stuff. You want to follow it all the time, so you got the current news, current information. Best place to do that is to go to my X account, Rex Jones News, on Twitter with a Z. That's Rex Jones News. And go ahead and follow and support me there. I'd really appreciate it. Let's get over the hump. Let's break 40K, 40,000. I'm literally on there like every 15, 30 minutes commenting on the latest news. The way I see it is whenever I see something break on X, it's my job to quote tweet it and comment and give like the most relevant facts, information, deepest cut that I can make. I always try to do that like a samurai master, and sometimes I fail and might cut my hand or whatever, but it is what it is. That's Rex Jones News on Twitter. That is the place to be for alternative media, the best guests, the best posts, the best interviews, the best clips. Rex Jones News on Twitter. And I think I'll be back tomorrow. So we will see. Will the MOU hold? Will Israel attack Lebanon again? Will Trump back out? Will he taco? Will he reverse taco? Taco squared, depends on what you say. Will he flip-flop back to the Israeli position, or will he hold firm? That is the question for today, and I hope I gave you a good breakdown on that MOU, the prospective peace deal, the $300 billion, and everything that's been suffered so far in this conflict. My name is Rex Jones, your embattled host for today, and I'll probably see you guys tomorrow on the InfoWars War Room. Thank you very much for being here. I do appreciate your time. And again, I'll say it one more time. Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. Thank you so much for being here. I will see you later or sooner. Hey, maybe even tonight. Maybe I do a stream. Hop on tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon with me. War Room, Gray Area Talks, New American Journal. Follow all Rex Jones News on Twitter. Retweet AJN Live.
Been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is what we're, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the Sea Moss capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.